the Toad Hop Network studios
in Hollywood, this is the ToadHopNetwork.com.
A place of our own without a lot of parents peering down our backs.
Radio worth watching.
And here we go.
Hello, Schmoville! Holy shit, this is a super exciting show. I am, I cannot tell you how, like, I'm pumped for so many different reasons.
My face is getting really red.
On the way over here, I put up an Instagram video, and you can see me fanboying out as I'm driving here, and it's for a lot of reasons, and I'm going to break that. And I have to be completely honest. It's primarily because of the person sitting to my right. Not Josh McCougar. No. It is the long-haired freak that has been a friend of mine for a very long time.
I thought you were
going to
say it was because you were excited that I was back.
I am excited you're back,
but the ladies should go, I should
give you enough of the attention. I know, I caught it. But look, I want to talk to about our co-host tonight. Mark Ellis is out. He's at Zany's in Chicago. If you're in Chicago, go check him out. But Naveed McElargy, our buddy, president of Film Engine, is sitting next to me on my right. And, dude, I have to thank you for tonight because Schmoville.
Thank me after.
Oh, you want to make sure? All right, okay.
He said he's going to call.
Okay. So who we're talking about is one Norman Reedus of Walking Dead fame. Daryl Dixon is
like
going to be
the biggest fan fave ever.
He's the best because he's cool as shit. And not only look, we got to talk to him at Comic Con, and he's just a chill dude. And
Naveed, he's the nicest guy.
Naveed knows him; he's buddies with him. So he made the phone call, and he's going to call in tonight around 8:55. But not only is he calling in, coming into the studio. In studio is Clifton Collins Jr. This guy, what an actor this dude is. I mean,
he's been
in every Traffic, Star Trek,
Pacific Rim.
He's been in everything. I can't wait to talk to him about that guy, his career. But listen to this. Right before I got in here, we have breaking news that we're going to post on our website. Our editor-in-chief. And by the way, Tiffany Smith. Congratulations to everything that has been going on with you. You are now the co-host of DC All Access.
Yeah.
Really cool. How about you? Congratulations.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thanks, guys.
Co-host on Fandango. Thanks. I mean, you're kicking ass out there, and you're making Schmoville proud, so I am glad you're back.
You talk about the government shutdown?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
No, I talk about real DC.
Ellis made the joke on their Carrie review, and apparently Tiffany was never – no one asked Tiffany at a prom. Can you believe that?
What?
Yeah,
I know.
Were you one of those girls that got hotter as she got out of high school?
Maybe. I don't know. My sister used to tell me you only get to be pretty for half your life, so maybe I was
second
not
half?
Cute when – I don't know.
Well, that
yeah,
works.
Something
that's
like
probably better.
I'm still waiting for mine.
Yeah, does that apply to men?
I don't think it's true.
Yeah. Ken Napsok sitting over there, our producer. And so, okay, so we have breaking news, and our editor-in-chief, Yodi, Mark Riley, is working on that story right now. So check, keep refreshing, schmoesknow.com. And I'm also going to tell you as well what the story is. It is a huge story, a really big story of something that has been rumored for quite a while, and now we are going to let you know exactly what that is. So, and that's a Schmoes Know exclusive. All right. But before we do that, we're going to get to the movie news.
There's so much buildup.
There's so much cool stuff today. I mean, Clifton Collins and Ken, 9:30.
9:30. Jason Horton is here.
Jason
Horton.
One of the
funniest YouTubers around. Just did a big video alongside Jenna Marbles, so he's coming in.
That's going to be cool, too, because we're going to have a lot to talk about after that. And so, all right, guys, let's get to this. Let's get to the news. And Ray, here we go.
I'm Ken Napsok, and these are your Schmoesknow headlines brought to you by Magic Hat Brewing Company. Variety was the first to report that Marvel Studios and director Edgar Wright have narrowed down their choices on who will portray Ant-Man in their forthcoming film. And the choices are very different. Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Paul Rudd are apparently the leading candidates to be Hank Pym, a.k.a. Ant-Man. The choice is similar to the one most high school cheerleaders have to make, the school heartthrob or the hip English teacher. JGL responded to the report while promoting Don John, saying, "If you don't hear it from me, they are just rumors." So, of course, this means he's in. One theory is that both may be cast, with one portraying Ant-Man and the other playing Scott Lang, a criminal who steals Dr. Pym's technology to become his very own Ant-Man. So to recap, Marvel's Phase 3 will have a talking raccoon, a walking tree alien, and two guys pretending to be ants, but Warner Brothers still can't make Superman work.
Stop it.
According to a source close to Ain't It Cool News, the upcoming X-Men Days of Future Past will be available for viewing in the controversial 48 frames per second format, the same format that made it possible to see how regretful Sir Ian McKellen was for being in The Hobbit. The report does mention that director Brian Singer and his team do acknowledge a negative reaction Peter Jackson received for going 48 frames, but they are extremely happy with the results and stand by the decision. However, Fox Studios has denied the story, calling it false and tricksy, adding, if you want to find out what Hugh Jackman's pores look like, you're going to have to learn the old-fashioned way, felony-level stalking. X-Men Days of Future Past will be released May 2014. While appearing at New York Comic Con, which is kind of like San Diego Comic Con, but with more people claiming the pizza is better, C-3PO himself, Anthony Daniels, played coy about a possible appearance in Star Wars Episode 7, hinting that those big Disney mouse ears are listening. But then, a short while later, he was caught off guard and let it slip that he is the only actor to appear in all 7 of the films, leading to speculation that Episode 7 will be the only one in which C-3PO finally comes out and marries that gonk droid he met while locked inside the Jawa Land Rover. Meanwhile, thanks to this faux pas, Anthony Daniels has lost out on a chance to narrate Disney Nature's Bears.
Oh my gosh, you but, love bears.
But Daniels says that's fine because those weren't the bears he was thinking of. TV news, AMC's The Walking Dead returned this past Sunday in a new fancy 9 p.m. time slot, and the first episode of the fourth season drew a series record 16.1 million viewers. And when broken down, the numbers are even more impressive. 10.4 million viewers came from the 18 to 49 years old demographic, a record setting 8.8 million were in the 25 to 54 demographic, and 2.4 million viewers came from the coveted I just didn't want to feel left out of the conversation Monday morning at work demographic. Since its first episode on Halloween night 2010, The Walking Dead has gained over 11 million viewers. Meanwhile, your parents still aren't sure if their television goes all the way up to AMC. Jurassic World casting news, Ty Simpkins, fresh off being Tony Stark's adorably precocious and totally necessary sidekick in Iron Man 3, and Nick Robinson, star of the well-received Kings of Summer, have been cast as brothers, potentially joining a still-rumored Bryce Dallas Howard. No plot details have emerged on the script, but at some point, someone will yell, run. And finally, in a tragedy most housewives haven't experienced since their first marriage, Charlie Hunnam, the hunk of motorcycle man meat set to star in the film adaptation of 50 Shades of Grey, has dropped out of the production. Oh, the humanity. The official line is that the filmmakers and the Sons of Anarchy star have agreed to part ways because Hunnam's TV shooting schedule does not leave him enough time to prepare for the role of a dude who likes to have sex. There is massive speculation that Hunnam got cold feet and didn't want to be part of the showgirls-like spectacle. Some fans of the book aren't sad, though, as a large-scale internet petition had been circulating trying to get Hunnam removed and replaced by Matt Bomer, the talented and very out and proud star of USA's White Collar, proving that most women's mouse-clicking fantasies don't have anything to do with sexuality, but everything to do with denial. I'm Ken Napsok, and those were your Schmozno headlines, yeah, hey. Brought to you by Magic Hat Brewing Company. For more news, be sure to head to schmozno.com for reviews, news, and clues.
Beautiful job, Ken. Beautiful job.
Which one?
Jurassic Park.
Okay, yeah. Well, here's some other news with Jurassic Park, by the way.
Oh.
Here's some more news for schmozno.com, and this is something pretty new as well. Josh Brolin has an offer, by the way, on Jurassic Park 4 for the role of Owen. And
Peter Francon's a huge Indian actor.
What's that?
He's a big Indian actor.
Josh Brolin is not an Indian.
I was like, what are you talking about?
Okay, so that is not the big news, again. And to let everybody know, just if you're tuning in right now, Norman Reedus will be calling in to the show at 8:55 p.m. I know a lot of people are tuning in for the first time, and welcome to Schmoville. But right now we're going over the news stories. Here is what we're going to do. I'm going to talk about a few of these stories that Ken talked about. We want to hear from both Naveed and Tiffany, hear their thoughts. Let's talk about this Charlie Hunnam thing first. Now, you hear that Charlie Hunnam is dropping out. Now, my thought on it is because there was so much backlash and everyone was saying he's not right for the role. And it's a different type of thing with Ben Affleck, because Ben Affleck had the clout, had the power, and is a much more prominent role in Batman than 50 Shades of Grey. So I'm thinking Charlie Hunnam goes, let's get out of this thing. That's my thought on it. Tiffany, what do you think?
I mean, I love Sons of Anarchy. It's one of my favorite TV shows. So I love him on that show. I love him in some, like, older Renaissance-y kind of things. I don't know. I haven't read 50 Shades of Grey, so I don't know what the basic storyline is, except that he's, like, a dirty, dirty sex fiend or whatever. Yeah. Do They're I think he could me. Pull it off?
You got to talk louder. That was good.
They're going to cast me.
Yeah, you should.
I think he could pull it off, but I do think it probably has more to do with the fact that he doesn't want to be part of that circus, because he's not someone who's super public.
I agree with you.
He never has been.
Naveed, what do you think?
I haven't read the book either, so I don't know. Usually when they say a guy has scheduling issues, it generally means he got fired. So I don't know if he quit or he got fired.
Right, or maybe it was the opposite. Maybe there was so much backlash against him that they thought, you know, maybe this guy isn't the right choice. Let's get rid of him.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
All right.
Or maybe. I don't know. And then, but every other time this has happened, this is why I'm surprised. Every other time this has happened in the past, like, remember, you guys are too young, but when Tom Cruise was cast in Interview with the Vampire Slayer, Anne Rice
was
in
the Vampire Slayer.
Interview with the Vampire Slayer.
That should be a new movie. I would see that.
By the way, I feel like shit. So.
You feel like shit? Yeah. Good. Well, I remember. There's always this, but the difference with that, again, Tom Cruise's clout a lot better than Charlie Hunnam's. All right, right. So moving on. Let's talk about this.
But
New
then
York.
She loved him.
Well, again, it's Tom Cruise as opposed to Charlie Hunnam doesn't have the career yet.
He's been around for
but
a long time.
The names
though.
I've heard, by the way, there's three other ones, and the names I've heard are.
Can you say what the names are?
Yeah, sure.
Who do you got?
Alexander Skarsgård. Can I look it up on my phone?
Because it's all right,
on
the Skarsgård.
Alexander Skarsgård was one.
Yeah.
Theo James, who I don't even know who that is.
Theo James was the lead on Golden Boy, and he's in that new one with
Shailene
Woodley.
Oh, he was in Downton Abbey.
Yeah, he's not good.
And Garrett Hedlund.
Hedlund probably be pretty good. Yeah,
okay. We got terrible. one night I came home and my mom was on the couch. My dad was watching TV. She was reading 50 Shades of Grey, and I was like, "No, you know,
right?"
No.
Right.
And then you stole it from her and read it yourself.
No, here's the funny thing: is a girl posted on my Facebook that they had done a police sketch of what that dude would look like. Gray, what's his name?
Christian Gray
would look like, and it looked like picture when I was my headshot when I was 24. Okay, weird. That's why she posted it on my Facebook.
Especially your mom reading it.
Wait,
I got to cut you off for a second because we have confirmation that we can post this story now.
What's
the
that?
News? The breaking news story.
Oh.
Okay,
right,
guys.
Go.
So here we go, guys. So right now, if you go to schmozno.com, you can read the breaking news story. However, I'm going to tell you guys right now what this story is as well. So make sure that you tweet this at what's right. Ryan?
Yodi's saying, hold on.
It's loading. It's loading. I'm going to also tell Schmoville as well. As this story is loading, when you see it on the website and when you hear me say it, please tweet it out and hashtag Schmozno on it too. Schmozno just said, because this is a – what happened? What happened? Just say it. I can't hear you.
It's an error.
It's an error. All right. Oh, you got a hold. Sorry, editor in chief,
like
Mark.
This is like you're
Riley.
Telling me it's
I know,
Christmas.
It's a tease.
Every
I know.
Second.
Sorry, I got to hold
like,
it. I got to hold
oh,
it.
It's not.
I didn't do
you
that on purpose.
You know what it is?
I swear to God, I didn't do that. I didn't do that on purpose. Okay,
I mean,
so we'll talk about Anthony Daniels quick. And I promise you, I'm not teasing you that we're going to talk about it as soon as the website stops playing with its balls. All right, so New York Comic Con, Anthony Daniels. Tiffany was at New York Comic Con, so I want to hear your thoughts about this in a second. But so Anthony Daniels apparently slipped and said he was going to be in the movie. That's good for me. He's on my fantasy team. I don't think this is a big shock. The fact that, you know, whether he slipped or not, or he's just like, come on, they're going to announce it tomorrow anyway. Does anyone really care? Does it have to be news, Tiffany?
I don't think, I mean, it's not a shocker to me. You're like, okay, probably going to happen. I think that it's fun that it happened at a con because everyone was waiting for stuff to happen. So it's like, okay, we get a little bit of a taste of, you know, what's up with Star Wars.
Right.
New York Comic Con, though, is totally different than San Diego.
It's
such
a different vibe, right?
Yeah. It's a lot more for me. I feel like it's a lot more about the comics, which I loved.
Okay. So now the story is up on our site. Okay. So. Here we go, and the people are already tweeting it out. So here is the news. Now, I will give El Mayambe credit on this to where he rumored this a while ago. This is now confirmed, and we've heard this from a story from a source inside the agency of one, Michael B. Jordan. He has signed as Johnny Storm for Fantastic Four. So that has not been released anywhere. That is from a source inside the agency. You guys tweet that out there and let everybody know. Tweet the big news outlets, and we are happy to say we are confident in our source that this is going down. Michael B. Jordan is Johnny Storm, and Schmozno is the first one to break it. Congratulations to Mark Riley for posting that just now. Tweet it out there, Schmoville. Show them the power of Schmoville, and let them know that we are the first ones to tell you that Michael B. Jordan, and what a courageous move, by the way, put an African American as Johnny Storm. I think the guy's going to kick serious ass. He's a fantastic actor. Let's talk about this news right off the bat. Naveed, how do you feel about this?
It's fantastic.
It's fantastic.
Wow.
How long were you waiting to say that one?
Well, every time he says fantastic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So how do you feel about Michael B. Jordan cast as Johnny Storm signing on?
It's awesome. I don't know where they're taking the story. Do you guys know?
No, I don't. Anything? So what would you say? What would you know about this if you were to guess like what was going on? How this kind of went down? Like, you know, cause from what our source says, it's a signed deal. I know you heard. I know Riley was telling you a little bit about it before. Naveed, what do you know about it? No, Naveed, please.
Don't look at me.
No, I want Naveed to talk about it.
What do you mean? What do I know?
Well, no, it's Riley was. You guys were talking about beforehand,
yeah.
And he was telling you the breakdown. I was trying to give you some airtime here.
Got it.
I can tell you to also, but I want you
He's
to talk
so
about
what do
I
know?
I am zoned out. Yeah. I'm on drugs. I'm not.
Can I? Right,
come on! You have fucking 15 minutes.
I don't know. I think he's an awesome actor. I think you're right. It's bold to put a black man in that role. I think it's awesome.
What? What's that?
I mean,
you're right. It's not bold.
It's not bold. They put a girl that was not meant to have blonde hair and blue eyes in the first movie with blonde hair and blue eyes. It's awesome.
That's different. That's different because you're still it's different, and I understand what you're saying.
It's cool.
It's definitely cool, but it is bold because you're changing
the character that the fanboys know.
I mean, the same way that they changed Nick Fury. Nick Fury was an African American.
Yeah, but
he was in the reboot of the Ultimates.
In my mind, like that doesn't play into it for me. Unless they have a sibling, like if it was like brother and sister, and one's black and one's white, I'd be like, well, come on, you know they're related. I mean, they could be adopted.
Well, the rumors when he was circling it was that maybe it would be an adoption kind of thing that would then kind of change the story.
Yeah.
Right? The dynamic of the family.
Yeah.
Right.
But so, I love this news.
I just hope it doesn't suck like the other one.
It's going to be better than the other one.
That's all I want.
This casting for me makes me happy in general because they're going after talent.
That's a good point. Yeah. That's a good point. You get better actors and cool, not just the good-looking guy from a TV show.
That's what I'm saying. That means that's what they're going for. And I don't think that they're just going. Yeah, it's a bold move. You know, whether you think it's bold or not, it's a different move to cast an African American. But he's a talented dude. He's a talented human being, and putting him in this role, you're going to bring something cool to Johnny Storm. Not that Chris Evans wasn't, but it was a different tone.
But plus, you think about the character of the Human Torch or Johnny Storm, mm-hmm. and then you think about Michael B. Jordan. And what he could bring, that humor, I fucking love it.
Yeah.
It's a great move.
When you see him in Fruitvale or in Chronicle, you're like, okay, you know, he can pull off the superhero thing in kind of quirky, weird way where he's learning that he's got powers.
Yeah.
And there was something so like a spark about him in Fruitvale Station that I loved so much. So I'm pumped to see him in it.
Okay, cool. So, all right, guys. So, again, go to the article, schmozno.com. Check out the article that Mark Riley just posted up there. You get a little more of the details on Michael B. Jordan as Johnny Storm. And tweet that out. Put it on your Facebook. Get it out there. Again, Schmoville, you guys are the ones that are able to get the word out, and we thank you for that. Let them know how powerful Schmoville just is, and I really appreciate you guys doing that. Let's talk about some of these other stories before we congratulations to Mark Riley for putting that up. Thank you very much. And for our source out there, thank you for letting us know that was going down. That's a cool move.
Seriously.
All right. X-Men, 48 frames.
No.
No. I am with you.
Hold on.
The 48 frames for me. If you give it an option, that's fine. What I'm worried about in a press screening, they don't give you an option for we had to go see The Hobbit in 48 frames. They said, okay, here it is. You have to watch in 48 frames. No option of 24. And it ruined the experience for me. Some people love 48 frames. I am not one of those people. I really want to see X-Men in 24 frames. I don't need to see it so realistic. I'm against it. Naveed, how you feeling?
I don't remember the difference. Was it that bad in The Hobbit?
Yeah.
I saw The Hobbit.
Yeah. It's bad.
Really?
It's like that setting on your TV where you feel like
you're so hyper real.
Yeah. And you feel like you're right there on set.
Yeah.
And
you're right. You're right. I did feel that.
The fantasy's out of it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So you're against it as well?
I'll be against it.
All right, Tiffany, how are you feeling about it?
I was with you to see The Hobbit and we saw it in 48 frames.
Right.
And it felt like you're watching a rehearsal or you're watching like, I don't know, I feel like sometimes BBC does shows like that where you're like, oh, it feels like it's a play. And when it's in such a fantastical world, it doesn't work for me. It totally took me out of
it. You want the film look like?
Yeah. I don't want to be in a rehearsal space. Right. I want to get sucked into the movie, and I don't think that happens in 48. So I really hope that it doesn't.
I want to see you in 48.
You are right now, you dopey ass. All right. So let's talk about now we talked – let's talk about Walking Dead for a second, because we're gonna have Norman Reedus on the show. 16.1 million people for the show. That, and what did Breaking Bad do in its finale? Not 16.1, right? That's insane. 13.5 or something. To do 16.1
is insane.
I mean, for the subject matter alone, and the fact that it's on AMC, that's a phenomenon. You
did
know,
it beat the MASH ending.
No. I mean, we got quick.
My dad, who doesn't watch Breaking Bad, he and his buddies,
yeah,
who are all 65 plus, got together and watched The Walking Dead.
Isn't that crazy? So I mean, that's so what? And I wonder again if it was that word of mouth. What, Navi? What do you think it is? For me, I think that it's one of those things that it is. I'm surprised that Breaking Bad didn't do more than that. And I don't have an answer for it as far as why. Maybe because it's. Again, it's only the fourth season. Why do you think this did so well? 16.1 million. Is it because, like, and how does it beat the Breaking Bad finale?
Well, I have two theories.
Yeah.
One, Breaking Bad is that character for a lot of older audiences is an unlikable character. Like, you're watching a guy disintegrate into becoming a monster.
Yeah.
That's kind of something that especially older people, I think, just
don't get, right?
And it's not that they get zombies and everything else, but they're watching a character drama.
And there's good guys, and there's clear-cut good guys for the most part.
And frankly, on the flip side, think about the younger audience. They're not going to movies. They're watching TV.
Yeah.
And what are they going to watch? They're going to watch the stuff they love.
But still, 16.1. And Tiffany, what do you think?
I mean, I'm actually really surprised by it because I don't feel like there wasn't a ton of press for the season premiere.
Right.
Like, I feel like even when driving around L.A. last year, there were so many more billboards everywhere, so it would make more sense. So I think that, I mean, everybody loves zombies. I also think that there haven't been a lot of huge horror films this season like usual. And so I feel like this is a good go-to for people where it's like a mid-level.
There's still not a lot of people who love the horror genre that much. In regard to it, there are a lot of people who love it. But 16.1, what do you think also because the advertising that they did show during the Breaking Bad final season probably helped as well?
Oh, yeah. What else are people watching?
JTI, you look like a big Smurf tonight. Just notice that. Come here. Come show the audience as you stand behind me. But, 16.1 is a lot. Congratulations. We'll talk to Norman Reedus about that tonight. He is absolutely the best, doesn't he? He's a big smirk.
He walks in and you don't even, like, acknowledge that he's there.
That's why I wanted to I see him. It's pretty hard to miss him. He looks like a big smirk.
And
he got the hat and everything. You got to put the white thing on the top of it, though. Yeah, perfect. We'll call you Camera Smurf. Okay, so let's also
not
you
know, a very good
have,
nickname.
He does the camera work, you know, whatever. Variety was reporting about this Marvel story with Edgar Wright, Joseph Gordon-Levitt versus Paul Rudd. Now, there are a lot of different branches to this. Mark and I were just on John Campia's show, AMC Movie News, which is a fantastic show. If you don't watch it, you should watch it on YouTube. It's really great. And we discussed this as well. The Edgar Wright versus Joseph Gordon-Levitt versus Paul Rudd. They basically scanned in. Joseph Gordon-Levitt came out and said, if I don't report it and I don't tell my fans about it, then don't believe it. And then John Campy actually made a good point to saying, well, if he's saying that, then maybe, you know, maybe he's cast in it already that he's saying that. I thought my thing was that maybe he was rumored for it at one point. He was up for it at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And now maybe it is has gone to Paul Rudd. And so that's why he is telling his fans, if you're not hearing me report on it, it's not happening. So I don't know. Tiffany, what do you think?
I think he is super connected with his fans. Like,
yeah.
He is definitely into social media and stuff. And I do feel as though if it were true, he would tell people or he would be a little more aloof about it. But the fact that he's saying, if you don't hear it from me, it's not true. It's a rumor.
Right, right.
So I don't think that.
And he's because if he gets announced now, he's going to be basically lying to his fans.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Right. What do you think, Nibby?
The only thing I can think is that I don't know. It feels to me like he's kind of too elevated of an actor, and for him to go. Well, I mean, other than the
Paul
fact
Rudd.
Let's be honest.
Well, you think Joseph Gordon-Levitt's a bigger movie star than Paul Rudd?
Not
for
bigger
Paul
movie
Rudd,
star.
It would
I think
be
he's
comeback.
A more elevated actor.
Oh, okay. As far as acting
like,
ability
yeah.
goes.
Like,
okay.
I mean, Joseph Gordon-Levitt is going to go play – he's not going to ever be Batman, but he's going to go play that type of character, not Ant-Man. You know what I mean?
I don't know. Ant-Man's got a lot – Riley,
I mean,
can you pop into the mic for a second? Because Riley knows a lot about Ant-Man, I believe. Right? Do you or do you not?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. So I want to – so out of the two, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Paul Rudd, who's the better Ant-Man in your opinion and why?
Paul Rudd.
You think
absolutely.
So? Okay, why?
He fits the character that I love in – the comics. He has a wit to him. He has
He's very smart. He's not. I mean, think about think about Ant-Man. It's a guy that wants to be so small that nobody sees him, and that's Hank Pym. He like disappears behind a computer and does his stuff, and then he's a reluctant hero. He joins the Avengers sooner or later. That's Paul Rudd to me.
Right.
I haven't seen that Paul Rudd, and I know that's in his wheelhouse. I know he's going to bring that humor. I know he's going to bring that talent and that reluctant hero to it. We've seen Joseph Gordon-Levitt do the hero thing. He became Batman at the end of Dark Knight Rises.
Right.
You know?
But think about him on Third Rock from the Sun. Yeah, 30 well, Rock from the Sun.
Right. I know he can do it.
I feel like he could really pull that off.
I know he can pull it off. But
is Paul Rudd too old?
Hell no. Paul Rudd is
How old is the character normally in the storylines?
I don't know.
Not sure.
30s, late 30s, well, 40s.
He's mid-40s Paul Rudd, though, isn't he?
Yeah, but there's something about... It's like Michael B. Jordan being cast as Human Torch. Right. It's so awesome that he's up for it.
It's charming. It's cute.
Charming. It's great. It's cute. Like,
I don't think any male actor wants to be called cute.
No, but seriously, guys, it reminds me of when they cast Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man. It was outside of the box for me. I mean,
it was pretty outside the box.
The arguments I used to have back then.
Yeah.
Were you for it or against
him? I was totally for it because, well, we knew him.
Right.
And he was a great actor, but. I remember having arguments with people 2 weeks before the movie came out. Agents saying it's never going to work. You cast Robert Downey Jr.
Exactly.
I was like, you're nuts.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, again, we'll see. It looks, again, Marvel has been casting correctly for the most part. They've been casting correctly. Yeah. So let's see how that works out. Okay, guys. So that is we've got a lot. There's a lot of great news stories. Really fun. We get to break the story that Michael B. Jordan is the Human Torch. And again, our guest now we get into our fun guest section. Now we're going to have Clifton Collins Jr. is going to be joining us after the break, and then we will be joined at 8:55 by Norman Reedus from The Walking Dead. If he does not call in, we will bombard Naveed's house.
I'm emailing
apartment.
Him right now.
Yeah, you better, because there are a lot of people right now. Again, I will give everybody Naveed's personal email address if he does not call in. That is what I promise. I will do that, and you guys can do that if Norman Reedus does not call in. But Naveed has delivered in the past. He will deliver tonight. Norman Reedus, 8:55. Schmoes No Podcast. We'll be back in just a second.
Listening to the Toad Hop Network, radio worth watching.
What's up, Toadheads? Hey, make sure you check out the Toad Hop store on ToadHopNetwork.com. It's a great way to support the network and helps continue to bring you quality programming.
Quality programming, my ass.
Can you see I'm recording you? Oh!
So maybe you've got a great idea for a business and want to start selling your products or services online. Maybe you're an established business owner looking for new customers. Or maybe you're interested in starting a personal website. No matter who you are, GoDaddy wants to help you kick ass online. Right now, GoDaddy's offering .com domains for just $1.99. It's go time. Start your website today. Visit GoDaddy.com and enter promo code TOAD to get your $1.99.com or click on the GoDaddy graphic on the Toad Hop website. Some limitations apply. See website for details.
To leave your house to shop, to crawl through traffic to the mall,
just to find the thing you wanted,
isn't even there at all.
Amazon.com is the answer.
Shop at home in style and ease.
Find exactly what you want.
Ordering your stuff's a breeze.
Books on tape.
Games galore.
Everything you're looking for.
Kindle.
Cameras. Electronics.
Baby Einstein.
Hooked on Phonics.
Blu-ray.
Movies.
And TV.
Download.
Music.
MP3.
Pixar.
Disney. Microphones.
Pet supplies and doggy bones.
World of Warcraft.
Nancy Drew.
Sims.
The Scruff System 2.
Click Amazon.
You'll smile with glee.
Sometimes shipping's even free.
What's up, everyone? SportsGuru here. Sick of looking at the same old boring websites? Well, check out the new SportsGuru.com for all the hottest training videos and all the biggest sports news. Become a VIP for only $4.99 and get premium access to everything the SportsGuru has to offer. The beautiful gurus, girls, all my biggest sports picks, and much more. So get off that porn site and check out the new SportsGuru.com.
Is that hunk of junk you call a car always breaking down and leaving you in the dust? Log on to Dyson-Motors.com and check out Dyson's full inventory online. With hundreds of quality cars in stock of all makes and models, you can find the next car of your dreams in minutes. And know you're getting super low pricing. Purchase a car today from Dyson Motors and receive a year of free oil changes. Bad credit? Worried about financing? Log on and get pre-approved in seconds. Go to Dyson-Motors.com and find your new car today.
With GameFly, choose from over 6,000 titles. Play as long as you want and send them back when you're done. $8.95 to start, no late fees. GameFly.com, games delivered.
You're listening to the Toad Hop Network, radio worth watching.
All right, Schmoes No Movies Podcast. Guys, what a great show so far. We're only a half an hour in, and it keeps getting better. I'm here with Tiffany Smith, Naveed McElargy, and joining us in studio, I am so excited to have this guy in studio. I've been a fan of his work for a very long time, and we get to talk to him a little bit about his career. He's been in so much great stuff. He has a brand new movie called Hellbenders. That's coming out. Just saw him, I was browsing TV, saw him on The Blacklist. Clifton Collins Jr., what's up, man? Welcome to Schmoville.
Thanks, man.
how are you, dude?
He's like, and I'm not gonna say anything.
No, awesome. look, I'm. It's an honor to have you in the studio. Really,
I appreciate it, man.
We talk about a lot of your movies this year. A couple years ago were some of our favorites, and that being Pacific Rim this year. And we'd love to talk to you a little bit about Star Trek and that whole situation. Cool. But I wanted to talk to you first about kind of how, because you've been doing this for a little bit now.
Yeah, a couple years.
How'd you get started? Where are you from? How did it all go down?
I'm from Culver City. My grandfather was an actor in the 50s, a contract player for John Wayne.
Oh, wow.
He's like the only guy in known history to like one-up Groucho Marx on his own show.
Really?
So, yeah, I also recently posted that
where, on your Twitter?
On my YouTube page.
Okay.
So if you look up Pedro Gonzalez and Groucho Marx. You'll laugh your ass off.
Oh, guys, do that. Do that right now. Yeah, and then tweet us as well because I want to see that as well. Okay, awesome.
Yeah, so that's how I got into the business. I was just, I think, a natural born clown, really.
And he was just like kind of like your idol and stuff, and you just kind of followed in his footsteps or whatnot?
You know, it's like when you're so deep in the forest, you can't see the trees.
Yeah.
It was in front of me the whole time,
yeah.
And I just didn't think about it. It was kind of a no-brainer because I was always center of attention, getting in trouble and shit like that.
Yeah. So what was your what was your first job that really you said, okay, this is it, I'm doing this, I'm set.
I feel like it's gonna be something ridiculous.
A Say No to Drugs commercial. The irony.
Are you serious?
The fucking irony.
that was the first one. That was when you said, "All right, I can really convince people that I don't like doing this shit."
My mom thought I was lying to her when I got this commercial. She just thought there's no way in hell I could get a commercial.
How old were you?
I was 17.
Oh, wow.
My grandfather and my grandmother drove with me. And had to stay with me because I was like a minor.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
okay.
It wasn't until I got two more commercials like a month later in the same week that she was finally like, oh, maybe he can do this. But I didn't care the way I was going to do it. My grandpa was the only person who said, yeah, you can do it. Everybody around was like, no way.
And that was but that's all you needed though, right?
I just needed that one voice from that
especially
one person
him.
That loved me. Yeah.
Oh, wow. So okay.
He couldn't even read.
No, he couldn't?
He went to the second grade, and then from that point forward, he was entertaining for the family to make some money to eat some food.
Wow.
So from the age of 7, he was dancing and making up shows.
I could see that, though, where you're just like, man, that's what I can – I respect that. I want to do that. I can see
totally
that.
Respected him. Yeah. My grandpa was on the road with my grandpa. I mean, grandma and grandpa were on the road together, and she was 15 and he was 17.
Wow.
Yeah, living in New York, performing with the Rockettes, doing his own show.
How long were they married for?
Until the very end.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy.
It can
that's good
happen.
For that. Yeah, seriously?
Yeah. I got Grandpa Stars over here on Vine and Sunset.
Really? Oh, wow.
Right next to John Wayne's.
Look at that. See, there's a lot.
That's awesome.
And again, this is why I wanted to talk to you, man, because there's so much that I don't know about you that I want to learn as well, too. And there's so much great stuff that you've been in that I've loved. I mean, you were in some of my favorite TV shows of all time. You were on The Shield, which is great. How did you enjoy that experience on The Shield, by the way? Because
I love Chick. Chick's a badass.
Yeah, he's cool.
Sean Ryan can write his ass off, so.
How long were you? How many episodes of The Shield did you do?
Chris Sutter. I did like, it was supposed to be an arc, and I just never knew what kind of arc.
Yeah.
So usually your arcs are like 3 episodes, and I found out that they wanted to do like 7 or 5.
Cool.
And it was a a little bit of confusion there. So
yeah, you were out for a bit. I remember. So it was.
I can't even remember. It was so long ago. Truth told.
Okay. Yeah. But yeah. Again, just working on that show because that's the thing. You've been able to work with again whether it be TV, working with some really cool writers, whether it be Sean Ryan, and then working in the with some amazing directors. Obviously, in Traffic. I mean, that's my favorite. I'm not gonna lie to you. That's my favorite. That movie is it was just when I saw that film, I was blown away. I mean, so working with Soderbergh, how did that whole – were you intimidated when you first went in there working with him? How did that all go down?
No, you know, they actually wanted me to read for Jacob Vargas's role. It was one of my best friends. Yeah. Like the godfather to his kids. We're like 22 years deep. And I really wanted to play Frankie Flowers.
Yeah.
Like he was just so layered. Like, no, you got to come in for Monolito. And I'm like, no, I'm going to hold on. I'm like, it's Soderbergh. I'm like, I know it's Soderbergh.
Wow.
But I really want this other role. So I'm going to hold out. Like, well, it's already taken. So I went off to do Tigerland, which is Schumacher.
Right. Yeah.
Colin Farrell's first film.
Yep,
and then, they called like four times for me to read for Monolith. I kept saying, no. And they called like a fifth time on my last day at Tigerland. My manager calls, you're not going to believe this. I'm like, what? He goes, they called again. I started laughing. I'm like, for what? He goes, it's for something different. I'm like, for what? He says, Frankie Foss. Like, shut up. I was like, well, it paid off to hold
yeah,
off.
Yeah.
So just stick by your guns, right? And just, so I did that. I remained steadfast. And I came home and like, you're going to have to audition on the weekend. I said, I don't care if I got to audition on a Sunday night. I'm there.
Right.
And I did. And then that was all she wrote. Actually, John Leguizamo was supposed to do that, and
oh,
was
really?
Also another dear friend.
Yeah,
Moulin Rouge was going over.
Oh, right. So okay, around that. Well, that Clifton's our second traffic. We had Stephen Bauer in too. Yeah, and yeah. So yeah, that movie is just when you know you're making that movie. This is a question I was wondering. When you know you're obviously it's Soderbergh, you trust him. You know he's a great director. You never really know if a movie's going to be fantastic, but did you know?
You know, I get – Jeff Daniels asked me that too. We did know that we were making something special.
Yeah.
We have – you're sitting with, Don Cheadle and Louis Guzman and Jacob and Benicio, who I've known since I was 17. And you're just all sitting there. And you're all so passionate, and you're all sharing pieces of your heart for the same project. It's hard not to. And Soderbergh was like – I mean, I love him to death. He was such a great collaborator to sit there and just throw the ball back and forth and – it was just fun. You might sit down with him. He's like, hey, what do you think about today? I said, well, I had this idea about that. He goes, oh, man. He goes, I didn't think about it. He goes, well, how about if you do that and then do this? I'm like, oh, yeah. Well, how about if I do that and this and then I do that?
Right.
And so he was always like one up at each other.
That's cool.
And he was hands-on with the camera, and he was just – badass.
Yeah, it was. I love that movie. I loved your performance in it, so I'm glad we got to talk about that.
Like, have there been any moments for you where you felt really intimidated, though? Because I feel like you're saying you've been in it since you were so young, and I know you – and I just feel like you would walk into any situation and be like, whatever, but there's got to be a couple times.
Well, I mean, if it's just me being me like a clown, like, yeah. But when you it's funny. I was talking to Slash about this. It's like we're so blessed to be in a business where you can be like fans and friends of the same people. You know, it's like.
Did you see you were talking to Slash about this?
Yeah.
That's Slash. How I met him.
That's how I got on the show.
Yeah.
I love how randomly, though, I was talking to Slash. Like, I mean, like, I was talking to Naveed about it. I was like, Slash! Sorry.
Me and Mike Judge had this conversation a bunch. And Slash, dude, it's like, I just feel really blessed. So it's like, on the same note, when you meet somebody who's not your friend and your fan, you want to put your best foot forward.
Yeah.
You're stressed. You want to. It's the first day of school,
right?
You know, and whether you know people or not, you just want to do a good job.
Right.
So, you know, it's hard. Once you get your footing and you start flowing a little bit, then it's different.
You know the rhythm and stuff.
You
and
do,
all that. Right.
You totally do.
All right. Speaking of other, I mean, again, we're going to kind of jump around because you have so much great stuff here. One of the things we're a huge, it's very geek centric podcast here with Star Trek. And how that all went down with J.J. Abrams and working with J.J. Did you know J.J. beforehand? How did that process go down? And are you going to be in the new Star Wars movie?
And if I was, I wouldn't be able to tell you, sure.
That means he is.
Yeah, the fact that he knows not
calls,
to tell us.
Any no, calls about that. It? Have you gone in on anything?
I don't know if I didn't go in on Star Trek.
Oh, you didn't go into Star Trek? Mm-mm. Okay. All right.
It really is about who you know.
It's true. Okay.
Well, it's funny because you were talking about Traffic, too.
Yeah.
When J.J. was doing Alias, my sister's Veronica Collins Rooney. She married my best friend in the movie 187, Jonah Rooney.
Oh, okay. Cool.
She was casting Alias, and they wrote this character off of Frankie Flowers. And then J.J. says, it would be really cool if we can get that actor to do this. And my sister was like, oh, we can totally get him. She was like, is he even doing television? Like, well, he'll do this. He goes, why are you so sure? How are you so sure? He's like, my fucking brother. So that's how that happened.
Oh, wow.
That's hilarious.
So I did a 3-episode arc on that.
Oh, so from that you just connected.
Well, I heard rumors about Star Trek, and none of us on the first Star Trek were Trekkies at that time. And I tried watching all the old Star Treks after the fact, and it just didn't do anything for me because J.J. obviously reinvented the whole thing.
Yeah,
he brought it back to life.
Yep.
And that's his talent and gift, and he's just badass and fun to work with. And we work in 18-hour days and shit. So I just got a phone call one day, and I kind of heard a rumor that he was going to be calling at some point, and then finally that day came, and he broke it down because they weren't really sure who the Romulans were. Like,
yeah.
They weren't really defined. They're like space pirates or this or that, or the subconscious of Eric Bana or vice versa. And he just called me. He pitched the whole thing to me, and I was like, so what do you think, Cliff? What do you think? I was like, I don't know, JJ. Can I call you back?
No way.
He was like, what? I was like, I'm fucking with you. Of course I'm going to do it. I don't even know what the fuck it is. I'll do it. I'm in. I'll be the fucking Furby. I don't care.
Were you a Star Trek guy, Star Wars guy, or wasn't really your thing?
I like Star Wars, but I'm just not geeked out
about
it.
You're not
geeked
out.
I was geeked out about all the Bruce Lee films. Like, that's like the stuff I want. Mm-hmm. It's kind of how I started doing martial arts type movies, and I used to love doing all my stunts. In fact, the new Crackle show that just came out called Cleaners with Emmanuel Shrieky and Emily Osment and David Arquette.
The director, that's a buddy of mine, Paul.
Yeah, he's a good guy. I love Paul. I was the only guy that didn't have a stuntman. So I went back to doing literally all my fucking stunts. It was probably the wrong project to do it on, but I did. And
but it's like some of it's satisfying, and then some of it's like, oh, why'd I do it? But then you're like, I'm glad I did it, right?
Yeah, it was fun to get back into the dojo and, and just get limbered up and loosened up and snap the kicks and stuff.
Well, talking about some a little more into the maybe the action frame, too, and again, we're going to be talking to Norman Reedus not too long from now. We'll talk about Boondock Saints, too.
Yeah, it's my brother, man.
Now, a lot of rumors going around. People keep asking, any news on part 3 at all?
Yeah, Troy's writing it.
There is. Yeah. So there's writing in?
No, he's writing it.
Okay, cool. So it looks like it's going to go down.
I hope so. I mean, he'd be mad as hell if he wrote it and it didn't go down.
Look, I mean, you're obviously doing really well. Norman's doing really well. So it would probably make a lot of sense to get that thing done. And probably because you probably, again, one was like, you know, the hit that lived on through DVDs and from success everybody else and built on. And then now you have, two that did well because of that success. Now three, especially talking about the 16.1 million views this guy has on his last show. And everything you're doing, I'm excited about it. So, if you were going to give a probability here, what do you think that it's going to happen?
Say, yeah, I mean,
yeah, okay, great.
I
all right,
doubt it
you
at
heard
all.
It here.
I like that he asked for a probability, and your answer is
yes.
Yeah,
I'll take a yeah for a probability. So that's good for me. You heard it right from the horse's mouth. Let's talk about the Hellbenders then. So, can you tell the Schmoville a little bit about it? What's going on with it? What can we expect from Hellbenders?
A lot of laughs.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I loved about it was how foul it was. I mean, JT just was not afraid to challenge the system and talk shit about it. I think so many people are afraid of, like, the church and organized religions and all this stuff. And
fuck them.
Thank you. You know, I'm all for being spiritual and stuff, but, you know, organized religion is just, you know, and so the fact that we could challenge it and the fact that we're do-gooders or good doers, whatever you want to look at. So, you know, we tangle with the devil.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was kind of like a spin on all the cliches. Like, you know, these priests, you know, at the end of all these exorcism movies, you know, the devil takes them and they fucking kill them and all this shit. So, you know, he says, if this happened all the time in real life, they would institutionalize it. I mean, everything in the church is institutionalized. So they would do that. Like, you have to go down with the devil.
Right.
So, and he kind of wrote it that way. And he said, he did his different spin on it. It's like, you know, how can you be like a pure dude and tango with the devil? Like, when the devil, like, it's like clean bed sheets, right? Or a virgin girl or some shit. So we got to constantly be doing dirty shit. Like cheating on your wife or fucking hookers or, you know, smoking weed or fornicating or, you know, fucking rabbits.
Can I just say that?
That was the original name of the movie.
This is how rabbits. I met Clifton.
By fucking rabbits?
Real fast and furious.
No. Stop it. We were watching horror trailers for Slash's Screamings for Fandango,
Screamings.
And I saw the trailer for it, and I was like, are you kidding me? It's like, it's ridiculous.
You say you're watching trailers at Slash's?
With you!
Oh, my God.
For a show. I don't just hang out.
Oh, look at her. She's blushing. She's blushing. Way to go, Clifton. She's blushing. All right. So, and that, and when can we find Hellbenders?
Hellbenders. Jesus Christ. I mean, and you got Clancy Brown, man. I mean, this is a bad motherfucker. I've been I'm on him since Bad Boy.
Shawshank, man.
With the Shawshank. Jesus Christ.
And come on, SpongeBob SquarePants.
SpongeBob, are you kidding? So it was like, it was just dub. He's like the mentor. That opens up tomorrow in 3D.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a bunch of us going tomorrow at the Chinese.
Oh, awesome. Okay.
Yeah, you need to come, man. It's going to be fucking funny.
Do you want to say what time?
Yeah, 9:50.
9:50. All right, guys. So check that out.
Can I bring my kids?
Yeah.
Well, Wild Man Josh Mafuga has a couple questions he wanted to ask about Capote, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, throw some questions in there, dude.
That was a funny movie.
That one's definitely for kids too.
Well, yeah, because
it was like Dumb and
Capote.
Dumber than Capote.
Dumb and
Dumber.
Yeah.
There was a lot of Oscar buzz around when you did that movie, and I mean, I read that book, I read everything. Did you, when you went into that role, did you read the book? Was there like a preparation through that book? Because I mean, you as that part was, I kind of took me out of the movie and put me in your life almost, and you weren't even that guy. It was that well done.
I appreciate that, man. Thank you. Yeah, that book, I still have it at home. It became like a Bible. Like, I knew every page of that book. Like, you said, hey, where does this section happen? Or, like, you know, when the mom vomits, and I'm like, oh, when she's asleep on her couch, it's on page, you know, I had it all. I like, knew the book forwards and backwards. Like, it was Cliff Notes, but it was the whole In Cold Blood book.
Yeah.
I read that when I was doing Thief for FX, and I remember calling my manager saying, I love this fucking, you know, actually, it was my grandpa, once again. He had cancer at the time, and I was just checking on him. I was in New Orleans, and I called him just to see how he was doing, and he sounded bad. He's like, I just want to get off the phone now. And he was like, hey, son, he goes, I want to ask you something. I said, yeah, he goes, are you doing good work? I said, yeah, grandpa, of course, everybody knows I do at least good work. No, he goes, and then he kind of stopped me in my tracks. He says, well, I want you to do better work. And I fucking just, my heart dropped and sunk. Like, fuck, I got to raise the bar. Like, what the fuck do I do? Mm-hmm. And I came home to my hotel in New Orleans, and I had two scripts. And one was a George Romero zombie script, and another one was Capote. And it was like 2:30 in the morning. I opened it. It's a Philip Seymour Hoffman and Chris Cooper. I was like, oh, that's it. Let me read this. And I read it. I finished at like 4:30, called my manager. Dude, I know it's fucking early or late. I want this fucking thing. What do I have to do? I can't read for it here. I'm done here in a month. This role is too heavy, and this scene is too heavy. So I want to be home and have some downtime and do it. So actually, my sister called the casting director and got me an extra week. Because my manager's like, you got to read for it now. You're going to lose the role. I'm like, dude, you're my manager. You're supposed to give me peace of mind. Right. I'm nervous. I don't fucking audition well like that kind of nerves.
Yeah, right.
So yeah, my sister got me extra time, and I just knocked it out.
Did you prep for the audition as hard as you prepped for the role at that point, or did you?
I certainly did.
Yeah,
because it was that breakdown scene, so I had to, you know, there's a lot of shit that comes with those kind of breakdowns, and it's hard, and it's taxing on you.
Right.
Yeah.
But at the same point, it's very cathartic, but it really makes you examine your own life.
How many times did they make you do that, take-wise?
Well, when I was for the audition, it was just one time.
Right.
I just fucking dropped and did it. But I remember talking to Chris Cooper before we started shooting after like 2 weeks of rehearsal, and he was like, son, he goes, I want to ask you how you doing with this role? And I was a little embarrassed because, you know, he's fucking Chris Cooper, man.
Right.
I'm like, I fucking idolize him. Once again, I'm a fan, you know, I'm a huge fan. Fuck. So I was there, and I told him, I said, honestly, Chris, I've been having quite a few breakdowns, man, just in the preparation, you know, examining my own life, my relationship with my father and my mother and this and that, and my sister. Well, I love to death, you know, but I lost my dad to a suicide in 97, so that all tied in. And he kind of, like, looked down in his like, half-empty plate of food and fumbled with his salad a little bit. And then he just took a pause. He was like, well, son, he goes, this is the kind of role you're supposed to have breakdowns on. And I was like, cool, man. He goes, I think I'll have a drink now. I had stopped drinking for, like, the whole time I was prepping. I stopped everything. I just wanted to get in touch with my demons. I just wanted to have them on big-ass chains by my sides instead of running around everywhere. You know what I mean? I just wanted to know where the fuck they were.
Wow.
Now I made them my friends.
That's awesome.
You know, Clifton, also, something you said that, like, the fact every story so far I've heard, you're like, well, I was working on this, and then I went to that. It does seem like you're working all the time, dude. What was the longest, like, you've ever had, like, a break, like, to rest? Doesn't seem like you really rest that much.
No, I don't. I've taken, like, one vacation in 24 years.
Holy shit. What was your longest vacation?
Longest?
I mean, excuse me. Short, like, I mean, break-wise. Like, so how long was that
not vacation? Working, you mean?
Yeah.
That doesn't mean I'm resting. I'm nervous as all hell.
Right.
You know, we used to have a joke. Me and John Seda and Jacob Vargas and myself, we'd always see who would not work the longest. I think Jacob holds the record back in like, I want to say the early, mid-90s, late 90s.
Because he chose to take the longest break.
No,
because
no, no. It just wasn't booking. You know, but I mean, he works like a workhorse. But I was like maybe, I don't know, maybe I had a four-month break.
Well,
but it wasn't by choice. You're still trying. You're like, you know, swinging as hard as you can. You just happen to miss the ball, or the bat goes flying out your hands. Like, fuck, man.
Right. That's, I mean, but
I was younger too.
But you're ready. You just at this point, you're like, get me in there, coach. I want to play.
Like, oh yeah. Now okay. It's like, yeah. Like, my manager had another meeting for me on Tuesday after my big Monday meeting. I was like, there's no way in hell I'm taking another meeting on Tuesday.
Right.
Not after my big Monday meeting. This Monday thing is going to be huge. So I'm literally going be home after today, after I leave you guys.
Yeah, you're doing your thing.
Had I not committed to this, I would have canceled.
Well, we're glad that you did, man. Thank you so much.
He came in with his sides. He's like, yeah.
No,
I
he did. I'm glad. No, and again, it was. I wish, you know, obviously, I know you got to do your thing. I wish that we could have you for longer. Please come back. But,
I'll totally come back.
We'd love to have you back. And before you leave, we were looking also. Terrence Malick movie. It says that you're rumored. Is that confirmed? Can you?
I'll confirm it. Yeah,
you're confirmed. Okay. So, you
guys have some amazing questions. I can tell you answers.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. Well, good. Amazing. Good. So
I love working with Malick. Even he's so whimsical and child. It's like the planet.
You work with everyone, man.
I know. I'm literally sitting so listening to these directors. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, man. I'm sorry. Wow. Go ahead, please.
It's like the planet was created for him to shoot.
Yeah.
That's a great analogy.
He literally runs into like a bar that's a known cartel bar and just wants to shoot.
Wow.
And the bodyguards are like, no, Mr. Malick, you cannot go in there to shoot. Oh, we're going to go in here. He's like walking in with the election just shooting. Cartel, like, what the fuck's going on here?
Wow.
Come on, Castle, pinche, Malick.
I mean, again, you talk about another guy, too. When
Guillermo?
When you're telling stories like that. I saw him at the Anaheim WonderCon, and listen to that guy, how excited he was about Pacific Rim. Got me excited about it, and how passionate he was about what was it like working on that movie. And again, I guess it's the same question, knowing that it was him, because you can't see all the effects and stuff. Do you just know it's going to look fucking cool?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's Guillermo del Toro. I mean, whether it's like The Orphanage or The Devil's Backbone or Pan's Labyrinth, I mean, this guy has such an imagination, such preparation, and much like Hitchcock. You know, he's storyboards. All the work's done. Mm-hmm. You've got like this much room to like come up with stuff for Guillermo. And also, he pre-lit the whole thing. So Guillermo Navarro, the DP, mm-hmm. who's also a known badass in his own right.
Yeah.
There was a lot of acting, very little downtime. So even if you wanted to go to your trailer, you'd have to run because they'd be calling
really?
In just
wow.
minutes. Oh yeah.
Because it was that laid out, ready to go. They knew it. They had it all laid out.
Take after take.
Okay.
And just fun to collaborate. I mean, he's truly our Hitchcock, in my opinion. I love that guy. That's the one motherfucker almost turned me gay.
Exactly. Well, maybe you know this, too, because maybe you know. I don't know what your relationship was with Charlie Hunnam. You heard all this stuff now going on with the 50 Shades of Grey that now he's not doing it anymore.
What do you think
the reason is?
I sent him a text congratulating him. He was super stoked and excited. Honestly, I don't know. But, you know, we all have our reasons for dropping out of projects. I try not to.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's got a good thing going, so you know, he's a good dude.
Cool. Well, dude, I cannot thank you. It was a pleasure meeting you, and I really would love that. Please come back.
Absolutely, man. You'll have fun with Norman, too.
When you're casting Star Wars, you can come back. Clifton's on my list.
Yeah. Is he really?
Do you have him on there?
You should. It's a damn good bet.
Is Norman on yet?
No, not yet, but because
he's watching.
Oh, good. Okay, good.
I emailed him. He said, oy ve. I sent him a link. He said, oy ve.
Okay. All right, good. Well, Norm, I mean, again, Clifton, if you want to stick around, it's completely up to you. I know you got your sides, but Norman's going to be calling in, too. You tell him to call him in now. We're ready for him as well. So,
if you have him call in now, at least I can say hello.
Yeah, that would be cool. So we're waiting for Norman Reedus. We're here with Clifton Collins Jr. I literally could talk to Clifton probably for 3 hours on all the stuff that he's done. It's amazing the amount of people he's worked with, and I'm sure there's a lot of holy shit moments that we haven't even begun to crack the surface down.
If you could tell other actors, what do you think it is that's different about your career path? Because, I mean, every actor would want your career.
You think?
Yes.
I don't get paid.
Oh, man.
Dude, you work your face
I do
off.
Art projects. But I got street cred up the ass.
Yeah,
but, you
have a lot of street cred, man. Like, again, because everyone, we told people that you're coming on, and they're like, dude, I love that guy in this. Mm-hmm. He's great in that. And it's like, you were never bad in anything you were in. Like, that's the thing, though,
I've
too.
Got some out there.
Yeah, which one?
Let's hear your worst.
Yeah, but the first
Fortress?
One.
Oh, wow.
Fortress. I was 21. Fortress? I was trying to, like, still figuring out how to act.
Or The Flash, right? You weren't in,
Flash
weren't in The Flash?
Yeah, I was all right in that. I was, like, 19 when I did
okay.
that.
Okay. See, we just got to throw in a comic book one.
Flash. Fortress. I remember
Fortress.
That.
Yeah, I was a youngster. I was, like, 21.
I think I worked in a movie theater then.
What? Yeah. I think I worked a movie theater before I got Fortress. Wow. At the AMC in Century City.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, brother.
They switched that stuff over before they switched it over, right? Yeah. Wow, okay. Guys, Clifton College Jr., make sure you check out his movie that Hellbenders comes out tomorrow. You can see it, and you can probably go check him out and watch it with him tomorrow at the Mans. Mm-hmm. So he'll be there. What a fantastic show this has been so far. I mean, again, with the news of Michael B. Oh, yeah, I don't know if you heard or not. We broke the story that Michael B. Jordan was cast. He signed the deal for Johnny Storm on Fantastic Four. So it's a done deal.
I didn't see the Fantastic Three. Or
then you probably do not care. But again, have you,
only because you have so much like so many good stories you've already told us that I will let you get away with that.
It's
one.
It's the truth. Have you worked with this kid yet? By the way,
no, I haven't. But I'm a fan though.
He's good, he's man. Talented. Do you see Fruitvale Station yet?
I have it at home.
Dude, it's fantastic. It's really that movie.
I cried.
Oh, blew
I like
away.
Ugly cried in the theater seeing that movie.
I had to watch The Winter's Bone again last night, but I had it in my hand. I had Fruitvale. Like, oh, I really want to put this in, but I had to study Winter's Bone.
So. Oh, okay. Why? Can I ask?
Oh, just cause.
Just cause. I like it. I like the coyness. Yeah, he's probably working with the director. He's working with everybody, and he's probably doing the next Hunger Games. He's probably. I mean, it's the
game. I did meet on that.
On Hunger Games?
Yeah, I can't tell anything about it, though.
You just did. You just, oh.
I can say I'm in on it. Yeah. That's a badass director.
Do you ever get scared you're going to spoil stuff?
No, I spoiled something one time. Actually, I didn't spoil anything, but just because I talked about something, I got in a lot of trouble. I just mentioned I was going in on something. Fucking shit hit the fan. I'm like, something.
Is it past now? Can you tell us what it was that you got in trouble for?
It is.
I don't want to get you in more trouble.
I could easily. My manager will probably be calling me like as I'm driving home. She doesn't even know I'm on this.
Well, I
Google
do.
Google alert's like ringing off the hizzy right now.
Clifton, before you leave, I also want to, because now we do have our very special guest that's calling as well. And I think what a way to welcome him to the show than his Boondock Saints co-star. Joining us at the Schmozno Podcast, we are thrilled to have him on the show as well, from The Walking Dead. Norman Reedus joins us. Norman, how are you, man?
Hey, I'm good. What's up, Cliffy?
Hermano.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. A little stressed, but I'm good. These are some good people. I wish you were in here.
Oh, man, I miss you, dude.
I miss you too, brother. When you coming to Cali?
God, I don't know, man. I'm in Georgia now. I'm here until about Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Then we wrap up around then. But I don't know. Hopefully soon, man. We got to hang out.
I'd love that, man. I'm going to fly out to Berlin, but I'll hit you up, though, before.
Yeah.
You having fun on The Dead?
Say what?
You having fun on the show?
Yeah, dude. It's sick. I mean, this is by far the best season, and the scripts are really good, and... I mean, we just had, you know, insane numbers on Sunday.
Oh,
and,
dude, 16.1.
Oh, my God, yet, dude. So I'm excited.
Dude, I gotta get a show out there just so I can come hang out with you and visit.
I might go next week. Norm, it's Navid.
Come on over. And dude, your boy Michael's on the show now.
Yeah, I know. Are we allowed to talk about that?
Yeah, dude, we already announced it.
Oh, cool. Oh, sweet. I didn't say anything.
Yeah, he's awesome. What a cool
my
guy.
Dude.
Okay. Norman, again, this is Christian Harloff, co-host of the Schmoes. I want to thank you for joining us, by the way. I really appreciate you taking time out of your schedule. I know it's pretty late there, so thank you for joining us.
Oh, yes, sir, man. It's my pleasure.
Yeah, and we're, again, talking to Clifton here. It's amazing. And we were asking him a little bit about Boondock Saints, man. Again, and he was saying that the script is being written for the third one. If you could have it your way, what would you say about number three? Would you want it to go down sooner than later, or would you want to take a break? How are you feeling about Boondock Saints 3?
Yeah, I want to read it. I want it to be good. I probably want it to end there, to be honest.
That three and then be done.
Yeah, go on a hail of gunfire, I think.
I love that.
Ooh,
that's
nice,
right.
Troy's listening to this.
Yeah, seriously. Okay, Norman, so a couple things I wanted to ask you, though, too, because, again, you and I had met briefly at Comic-Con this year at the Walking Dead breakfast panel, which was awesome, by the way. And Mark Ellis, who usually co-hosts the show, and Naveed's taking his place, he wanted me to let you know that he was the guy that you guys were, I guess, watching Metallica at this small venue, and Norman apparently turned to him and goes, "There's no way that this band should be playing in front of this many, I guess, small people." But it was so cool that they were doing it.
It was so good. That show was so awesome. It was a tiny little venue, and they were as loud as ever. It was awesome. And I remember that breakfast, too, that press breakfast. We were talking about Sharknado, and all I could do on that panel,
yeah.
I could think of Sharknado going through and wiping out all those journalists at once.
Well, I would have been killed.
Clearly, you did not like that breakfast very much.
No, I don't think so.
No, I did. I just had Sharknado in my mind. And we were up on a roof. We were really high up in the sky. So I could just picture this Sharknado coming in and just throwing sharks all over everything.
Were you imagining yourself cutting yourself out of a shark's stomach then?
Yeah, I just what's this guy going to look when a hammerhead slaps him in the face?
But it was a crazy thing, too. But the other thing that was really fun was when they made David Morrissey sing the bad lip reading, which was amazing.
That was awesome. Yeah, those guys do such a good job of that bad lip reading stuff. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was really cool. So, I wanted to congratulate you on the big 16.1 million, dude. That's incredible. Now, you obviously know that the show is popular, but I mean, like, when you hear 16.1 million, what are you thinking when you hear those numbers?
Please don't kill me. Please don't kill me. Don't kill me.
No, dude, no one's killing you. You gotta be kidding me. I mean, like that's the other thing, though, too, is that you have become not only a rock star on the show now, like the season four premiere. They're treating you like a rock star, and that has kind of transferred into real life. And like again, I watched you at Comic-Con. The way people are coming up to you, you're like the guy now. Like, how are you dealing with that as like the rock star of the show?
I mean, it's The Walking Dead. It quickly goes downhill. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, it seems like we have things under control, but it quickly goes, straight to hell. It's The Walking Dead. It's one of those shows where no one's ever going to die, in a hospital bed of old age with a bunch of people standing around smiling, holding hands. It's just never going to happen. But, I just got lucky with this part, and I'm just grateful to be on the show, to be honest. It's kind of, a role of a lifetime. I'm having a good time,
Well, that made me think, though, because, again, like, because using another AMC show as a comparison with Breaking Bad, with the way that, like, Jesse Pinkman, when he first came in, they were going to, like, kill him off in the first season, and he was just – it was what he brought to the character that they continue to make him better. And do you feel that it was the same thing that would happen with Daryl? Was he a little more one-sided? He was like Merle's – he was like his little brother, but then what you brought to him and the emotion that you brought to him has really evolved what Daryl has become?
You know, Frank kind of let me run with him from the beginning, with some ideas, and we just have a really good writing staff, and it's one of those shows where everybody on the cast has each other's back, and the producers are on the same page, and the writers are on the same page, and they just write good stuff for me, and I have a good, ensemble around me, and you look at all the characters, no one's character is the same as it were in season one. All the characters have evolved, so... I'm getting lucky that they're writing good stuff for me.
Does it feel weird coming into, because your character was not originally in the comics, so everybody else can kind of look to the comics to see what the character arc is going to be or possibly where they're going to die? What do you go to?
Well, I mean, like, Andrea's still in the comics, what I mean? So they're not exactly following the comic books. I mean, it's kind of become its own animal now, so... Yeah, I think it would do the audience a disservice to follow the comic books exactly. But I started reading the comic books when I got the part, and then I just sort of put them down after a while because I didn't, I see Rick as Andrew Lincoln, and Chandler plays Carl. I see the actors now, so I just sort of focus on that. But I mean, I picked them up from time to time, and I mean Robert Kirkman, he's kind of a genius to create such a backdrop of a world, so. I don't really follow the comics, to the T.
Well, the other thing that I'm bringing up, what you guys said at Comic-Con, too, that I wanted to ask you about was they all asked, who would you want to hang out with, who would you want to be with if the apocalypse was really happening? And all of you guys, without even question, picked Carl. They picked the little kid. And is he really like a real badass in real life, this kid?
it's wild. I look at the first season and he looks so young, and the way that we've tortured that poor kid since day one, he shot his mom, right. it's to watch him bring that character to life is really, really interesting. I mean, Andy's kind of my BFF on set, to be honest.
Oh, cool.
But, I mean, all of us are really good friends, and it would be hard to pick just one, I think.
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing. Now, you said you guys are pretty tight now because you guys have been doing this. This is the fourth season. So watching the season four premiere, there are a lot of new people now. So now how obviously are these people, are the new actors when they're coming in? Do you guys haze them a little bit? Like how
do they have to get zombie makeup done?
Yeah, like what's the process on set with the newbies?
Well, I'll be honest. I kind of, you know, Daryl eyeball him a little bit. but you know, it's we've had actors come onto the show, and you know, they don't realize it's 120 degrees out here with humidity, and you're constantly just getting hurt, and you're covered in bugs and ticks all the time. So it's funny because you sometimes see new people come on, and you know, their heads held really high, and they're like, "Yeah, I'm on a TV show, and it's fun." And then by the end of the day, they're like hobbling back to their trailer, like 95-year-old men. You know what I mean?
With Lyme disease.
That's kind of fun to watch.
But, you get chiggers? Norm, you get chiggers?
Oh God, yeah, dude. Ticks and chiggers and.
You know, some racist came up with that name. I hate these motherfucking bugs so much. Boy, I hate them almost as much as I hate.
No.
We'll call them chiggers. We'll call them chiggers. That's what we'll call them. I hate them that much.
That's hilarious.
Oh man,
dude. Hey, Cliff, your boy. Zach Brown has a bar right next to where we shoot.
No, you're kidding.
No, dude. He's got his bar right in Sonoy, and it's literally across the street from where we get coffee.
Have you seen him yet?
I haven't met him yet. No, but his bar is really cool.
He's coming into I directed a chicken fried and whatever it is for Zach Brown.
Okay.
Yo, I got a cookbook coming out called 101 Ways to Cook Top Ramen that I did with Goose. Remember Goose?
That's rad.
Yeah, he got out the pen, we did it. 100 Ways to Cook Top Ramen prison style.
Wait, so Cliff and Norm. So you guys, I just realized that Cliff Norm. That's amazing. So you guys now.
Cheers.
Yeah, I just realized that. But you guys met on Boondock Saints too.
We knew each other before Boondock.
Yeah. Before the first one even got done. Ain't that right?
Yeah, I saw a movie that Cliff was in with Sam Jackson. And what was the name of that film?
187.
Yeah, dude. And Cliffy was so fucking tough in that movie. Yeah. And I remember asking my agent, I'm like, who's that kid? He's really, really good. And so I knew of Cliff, you know, way before I even met him.
Oh, wow. And you guys just kind of hit it off, and then you started working together, and you guys are just boys now.
We were good friends before, yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Really very fitting, and Troy just made it happen.
Oh, man, Boondocks 3 has to happen. I hope that screenplay turns out great, and you guys get to do that. I would love to see like kind of end out that way in the third one, the way Norm said. That'd be cool.
I think that's a great idea.
That'd be cool.
Shit.
Norm, I know that it's a little late, so we'll let you go in here a second, but I just want to ask you one more thing here. Like, so what else in the pipeline? I know that right now you guys are filming out there, and can you give – before that, real quick, can you give us – anything on season four that's coming up that you maybe can spoil, and any word on why the helicopter didn't fall through the ceiling first?
It had soft spots were on the roof, and so as the zombies created holes and fell on the soft spot, it opened up the roof.
Okay.
That's sort of the logic behind it.
Okay.
But, I mean, I will say this season is, you know, it has all the war and the blood and the, you know, everything else that the first three seasons had, but it breathes a little bit differently. You really get into character development. You see what makes people stand up and fight, or what makes people, you know, cower in the corner. It gets real tricky. And people talk about, you know, the threat within the season, and there's like 10 threats. Like,
really?
And I've done like a million interviews in the past week, and nobody's guessed it. So this season's crazy.
All right.
I mean, it's big numbers on that first one, but seriously, you haven't seen nothing yet.
Okay.
Is there anything that's comparable to the Red Wedding?
Yeah, is there anything comparable to the Red Wedding of Game of Thrones? Anything that's going to make people go, you know, have reaction videos on YouTube?
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Wow.
Just wait.
All right. Last one, because you get super excited. Now, I know that the season, you're filming the season, everything's going down right now, but are you branching out to, you know, more feature films again? Would you like to do some more movies? Have you been going in on anything that maybe, like Star Wars or anything that you want to talk about?
I mean, I have a film that's coming out. It's called Sunlight Junior with Naomi Watts and Matt Dillon. Which Jay Maskus from Dinosaur Junior did the soundtrack, and I interviewed him last night.
Oh, really?
Which is really kind of terrifying because he's kind of a hero of mine. But
where can you find that interview?
I'm shooting this till Thanksgiving, and then we'll see what's up after that.
All right. Well, again, Norman,
have your next movie.
Naveed has your next movie. Apparently.
I do.
What is it?
I already talked to him.
Better.
You did. Okay.
I do. I know. All right. We met how many years ago? Four years ago?
Four years ago.
All right, sorry, Wild Man, throw it in, but we got to let Norman go.
Norman, real quick. So everybody wants to know what you did before the event. That was like the big question on the last episode. These are my two guesses. All right, and these were from girls that I know. Sultry male model for an aftershave lotion, or that town bartender slash farmer that every girl wants, but his heart was broken by his first love, and she has disappeared and broke his heart forever. Which one are you going to take?
God, fuck. Can I pick the first one?
Yeah.
All right, Norman Reedus, Walking Dead, guys. Make sure you watch it on AMC on Sundays. It is one of the best shows on television right now. Norman, I cannot thank you enough for doing the show. And when you're in town, we would love for you to visit live in studio.
Wait, let me just add one more thing real quick. Yeah. Norman, thank you. It's Navid. Thank you. And I just want to tell everybody out there, he's not only an awesome actor, and he's one of the nicest guys on the planet.
He's a good dude. Norman.
So he really wants you to be in the movie that he has for you.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Cliffy, I love you.
Back at you, brother.
All right, Norman Reedus.
Thank you.
Walking Dead, guys. Thank you so much. Clifton Collins Jr., again, thank you so much for joining us, man. What a blast. Holy shit, this was an incredible show. We have 50 minutes left, and my God, we've had two amazing actors on the show. Clifton, thank you so much, man. Really appreciate it. Come back again, please. Wow. I mean, wow. I am loving this show, and I am loving Schmoville for everything. We had the Michael B. Jordan news, Clifton Collins Jr., Norman Reedus. I mean, guys, Navid, I thank you. You delivered like you always do. Navid McElargy is responsible for that call. Tiffany is responsible for Clifton Collins Jr. coming in. So
With bunnies. It was because we were watching a trailer.
Well, good job, team. Now, Navid, can you tell me what is that music that you love so much?
Oh, it's...
What's the name of it?
It's, fuck.
It's called Fuck?
No, it's not called Fuck. The Irish band.
Flogging Molly. Flogging Molly. And what's the name of the song?
Fuck, I knew you were going to ask me. That's the first song on the album.
Okay, that doesn't help me at all. What we're going to do is
I'll give it for you.
Because Navid is going to have a little section here. Is it Drunken Lullabies?
Yes.
Okay, so what we're going to do is, Navid, we're going to play a little music here. And Navid is going to... This is absolutely not it. This is some fat girl.
What just happened?
Did you just Rick roll yourself?
There you go.
That's it.
I know it is. All right. So Navid McElargy has a new segment on the show, and it is going to be the Hollywood Insider. Navid is going to have a bunch of stories. He's a Hollywood executive. He makes movies. What?
I gave you all of my inside information.
You don't have any?
Yeah, no, I have more.
Basically what it is, again, so Navid McElargy is what's wrong?
Nothing.
It looks like you're doing something really inappropriate, because I stopped doing
Navid
that.
Navid McElargy is an executive over at Film Engine. I met him over at Warner Brothers, and what he is going to do is tell us some stuff that we would not know, breaking stuff, news that you maybe wouldn't know on the outside of Hollywood, and we're going to get the inside. It's an inside track. Navid, what do you got?
I gave you a lot of it, but can I give him the other one?
Yeah, what do you got?
The one.
It's another breaking story. Oh, that's what you were slapping me about. Okay, don't give it then.
It's a big one.
It's a big one. We're gonna
break
it tomorrow.
But it's a big one from. Are you?
We're gonna have to break it tomorrow on the site. Because someone else is gonna listen to it, and then they're gonna put it on their site. We got to do it tomorrow, guys.
Let me see if I have others.
Did we go from a great Norman Reedus interview to a flopping section?
I just gave you all of my information. I didn't know we were still doing it.
It's what I want to hold on to for the site.
Okay.
It's pretty, by the way, it's pretty fucking awesome.
All right. Well, in the meantime, then, how about this? And how about we, let's take some phone calls.
Can I add one thing just because I promised?
Of course.
You guys are going to laugh at me for this. Sure. It's kind of a plug. But a buddy of mine just started a movie this week. He's a first-time director, but a huge second unit guy.
Uh-huh.
Their company is called 8711.
Uh-huh.
And they just started in a really great school. You're going to laugh because I shouldn't say that. It's a Keanu Reeves movie,
uh-huh.
but the script's awesome.
Okay.
It's called John Wick.
Okay.
And the directors, they own it big. Every great fight sequence you've seen ever in a movie,
yeah.
they did it. It's called 8711, and I'm doing a movie with them next. And they have a movie they just started with Keanu Reeves this week. And you are to follow them on Twitter at, what does this mean?
You hashtag are to follow them.
Number 8711. 11 action.
It sounds like my grandfather trying to get.
Yeah.
It's like unbelievable.
You don't follow that. You put the hashtag in the tweet.
And then make sure you use the YouTubes.
87, the numbers, and then 11 written out, action.
All right. To do that.
What
nobody,
do you call this sign?
Nobody understood a word that he just said on there. All right. Hey, let's take some phone calls.
They're
from Schmoville.
Awesome.
I'm sure they are, but you promoted it terribly. hey, you're in Schmoville. Who do we got?
Giovanni.
Hey, Giovanni, so how about this show so far? What are you thinking?
Well, it's pretty amazing. I'm so sorry I just missed clipping. I had a question if you had any updates for Crank 3, but I guess I missed it.
Oh, that's okay. You know what? I think Clipton had a great time, so I'm looking to get him back in the on the show again because he was incredible.
One more question real quick for you guys. I watched the Breaking Bad episode. That was amazing, by the way. It was fun. And, you know, I wanted to give you a call, but I didn't have a chance to. And you guys didn't mention anything about the Fly episode. I don't know if I'm the only one who was like, I think that's the only episode that I don't know if I didn't understand it or it was just the filler episode.
Breaking Bad? Yeah, no. I mean, it was one of the – look, I get both sides of that episode where some people don't love it. Some people – it was also directed by Rian Johnson, by the way, director of Looper, and also the director of –
oh, my.
And he directed the second to last episode of this season and of this past season. And if you watch it again, there's a lot of hidden meaning and stuff behind it that – it's one of those episodes that it gets better every time you watch it, but the first time, because of everything that's been going on in previous episodes, you're like, wait, why are we just in the lab the whole time? Go back and watch it again, and you'll find things beforehand that you hadn't seen.
I also think it was supposed to, like, frustrate you.
Yeah, that was the point.
Which is what it did to me. Yeah.
And frustrated Walt and Jesse.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call, man.
Thanks.
All right, let's take another call here from Schmoville.
I have this most awkward prank story ever.
Okay. Hey, you're in Schmoville. Who do we got? Please turn the radio down. Hey, who do we got?
Oh, it's. Am I really on?
Yeah. Who do we got?
That's kind of ridiculous.
What's going on, man? Who is this?
It's Nick.
Hey, Nick. So, what do you got?
Shit.
Nick, did you call last week?
My mind's kind of exploding right now.
Why?
I think he called last week. When Andy goes, way to fuck it up, Nick. Nick,
no, that was not me.
So what do you got, man? So what do you think so far? So we had Norman Reedus on. We had Clifton Collins Jr. We had the news that Michael B. Jordan is going to be cast as Johnny Stone. Uh-huh. Which one blew you away tonight?
Which one? Norman Reedus?
Norman Reedus. Okay, cool. How great is that guy?
I was a fan of his from the Boondock Saints.
He's awesome.
That show's ridiculous.
Guy.
You guys got to do a review on that.
On the Boondocks, I think we're going to, too, because I've never seen it. I got to see it. And I've seen trailers 1,000 times, and Norman Reedus is my favorite character on the entire Walking Dead. So it was really cool to talk to him, how chill the guy is, and how nice it was for him. I mean, it's like, you know, it's almost
by the way,
12 o'clock there. But
I
thanks
honestly
for the call,
had
man.
No idea.
That he was cool.
No, one of my buddies texted me. He's like, "Do you know that every 30-plus-year-old woman with 3 kids thinks he's the greatest thing on the planet?
They love him." It was funny.
It's because he's a badass and will protect you.
It's also because he's got that kind of calming. He's got that calming thing about him too, and the way he like looks after everybody. But it's also your real life personality really comes out sometimes in the way he acts. Like again, like Tom Hanks again, regardless of how much Tiffany hates his guts. Like when
I'm never gonna live that down.
But when again, like it comes out how good of a person he is through in the media and stuff like that. And look, we were walking out and Norman Reedus' people were trying to get him out. And he was taking pictures with people, and like he's so generous to fans. And it's not that like, oh, I gotta be generous just to put on a show. This guy cares, and you could tell he cares because he's a good dude. And that's why I was happy to have him on the show because you could tell that it's midnight there. He did it. He did it for you to call in, and he had a good time. He talked about the show, and it was great to have him on. So I'm really happy that we got to talk to him for a little bit. And I know there's a lot of Walking Dead fans out there that are happy to hear him as well. Mm-hmm. All right, hey, you're in Schmoville. Who do we got?
Hey, Christian, and what's going on, Schmoville? This is Thomas Hughes, Winter Park, Florida, USA.
That is a way to start a phone call, my friend. How are you, Tom?
No problem.
What's going on? What do you think so far about the show? What are your thoughts?
Freaking incredible show so far. Having Murphy and I just tweeted about it. My mind's all blank right now.
That's all right. It's been one of those nights.
And it's been a really incredible show so far. Real quick, to start a conversation, last week's show, you talked about Escape from Tomorrow.
Yeah, We had the Roy Ebertson on the show.
Yeah, right. I wanted to. You were talking about it, but I didn't quite get. I saw it the next day.
Yeah.
At my school, I go to school at Full Sail University, and they had a screening of it.
Yeah.
And I went and I saw it. What did you think of the movie itself, besides the fact that it was Shaka Rill style?
Thank you. You know what? I will go into that right now. Thanks for the call, dude.
No problem.
anybody here, did you see Escape from Tomorrow yet?
I did not.
All right, I'm not going to ruin it for anybody yet, but Escape from Tomorrow for me, I thought again, it was shot. Did you see it, Josh?
No, but I had a sorry.
No,
but I had a friend see it, and yeah. She told me that this was the movie that kind of like changed her perspective on seeing people with video cameras in places.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. In regards to how it was shot, and you know the gimmick, if you will, the fact that you know you're watching this movie, and I don't know if it works against it sometimes too, because you're not paying attention to the story sometimes. You're like, how did they shoot that there with all these? Because they shoot the whole movie again. If you're not familiar, we're talking about Escape from Tomorrow, where they shot everything illegally without the permission of Disney and Disneyland, Disney World. They shot all this footage and they did all this stuff. And the movie, as a filmmaking point of view, is very fantastic to watch and how they did this. The story itself, it's got a.
Is it horror? Is it?
Yeah, it's more like Twilight Zone-ish. You could deal with it. You wouldn't be that.
I know I'd be okay, but I don't want anything to destroy Disneyland for me.
Well, that would.
It
would.
The happiest place in the entire world.
It would, because that's the kind of the background of it. But what I didn't understand about the movie, I still don't understand the end. I don't get the end at all. I don't understand it. That's what I wanted to ask Roy Orbison after he left, but we lost him. So, yeah, if I was going to schmo it, because we're probably not going to review it, I'd probably go 3 out of 5 on it. So, Naveed, did you see it yet?
No.
No, a lot of people didn't. But, all right, so we're going to take, again, tweet in. Let's talk about a couple other things. Movies coming out this week that I wanted to talk about before our 9:30 guest. So we have a couple upcoming things that, in limited release, 12 Years a Slave, which Mark and I saw this movie, and this might be one of the most powerful movies I've ever seen in my entire life.
Really?
Ever. Kill myself.
What, kill yourself?
Kill myself.
You don't want to see it?
No. I have a bias against it, though, too.
Why? Tell me.
Because my old company made it.
So that's why you won't see it?
Yeah.
So. But what about the director?
I don't have any bias against him.
Okay, so it's you're watching because of Steve McQueen.
Right? I know.
But...
No, but it's like I've gotten to that point in my life. I know this is going to piss off a lot of people, but I've gotten to that point in my life where I'm just like, I have enough misery.
You have enough guilt.
Yeah. Guilt.
I had a conversation today with a friend, and we were talking about the movie, and he said he understands that the movie is powerful. Mm-hmm. He understands it's an incredible achievement in filmmaking, but he doesn't know if he could recommend it to people. And I understand that because
like in the same way as Zero Dark Thirty?
Different. It's more like the best comparison I heard, and I can't quote the person who said it because I don't remember, but it's Schindler's List for slavery. Is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's that powerful. It's like it's shot incredibly. Michael Fassbender is absolutely incredibly despicable.
You know, he's not promoting the movie?
Because there's a rumor going around that he passed out in no pun intended shame of watching the footage of himself, because he was so locked into the character and watching how despicable that he was able to get into that place that he couldn't watch the dailies, and he passed out because he was so like,
I believe it.
It's one of those movies that as a film, if you're like Josh Intern loves film, loves everything, I would say you absolutely have to see the movie in a filmmaking. If someone like my dad, you know, who's out in just wants to go see, you know, a big budget kind of movie, that's not the one for him. But it's a story that needed to be told. I'll tell you that. So that movie comes out. And then what else do we have this weekend? The Escape Plan. Come on. You got the Escape Plan with Arnold Schwarzenegger. Oh, me. Sylvester Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger and Escape Plan. Riley and I saw it last night.
Looks like garbage.
It's not good.
It's not good?
Nah, it's just...
I feel bad because I know a lot of people involved with it. But
it's not good.
It's not good. I wanted it to be amazing. Yeah. Our review's up. You can check out myself and Mark Riley, our review on YouTube.com, Schmoes Know. And, yeah, you know, it's just one of those movies. You saw it also, right? You saw it. JTI, stick your face in there.
I actually saw it a year ago at a screening, which it was like 2 hours, 10 minutes long.
Yeah.
And seeing it, I want to see it because it's been a year. I'm sure they probably edited out a lot of stuff. Hopefully, because when I first saw it, first hour, I was like, this is a bad movie.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed the last, like, 40, 30 minutes because it kind of went to the action realm.
It's fun. There get some action moments to it. And Arnold's fun in it. And Arnold's got a great line to where him and Stallone have a fake fight, and they're in the middle of something. And he says to him, he goes, relax. It's pretending. So I mean, it's
did
like,
they edit out the
like
thing where they both did this.
You can absolutely never talk about him without doing the voice.
I can't. This is so fun about him. But yeah, it's not. It's, I mean, it's one of those things. It's going to play off nostalgia. You go to see it if you love those guys and you support it. So, again, I equated it to if like today, tomorrow, if Tyson and Holyfield fought tomorrow again, you'd watch it. It'd be embarrassing, but you'd watch it. And it's kind of what it is.
If they're in a prison.
Yeah, exactly. So there's that, and then Tiffany can speak on this one because I haven't seen it yet. That is Carrie's coming out.
I want to see that.
And Tiffany, you didn't love it.
I didn't love it. Huh. I don't know if it's that the story doesn't really... Whatever! I don't know if it's that the story doesn't hold up the same way as it used to, or if it's just... I mean, Chloe Grace Moretz is amazing. She's so good, and Julianne Moore is so good. But I just left and felt let down. Like, I was just like, okay.
Yeah, that was it, happened. Huh? And that's what I heard. I heard it just wasn't, there wasn't a lot to it.
Who directed it?
It was a female who did
Boys Don't Cry. Yeah. She did Stop Loss.
Oh,
also.
Yeah.
I think
it's
like Amber Pierce or something like that.
Yeah. No, Kimberly Pierce.
So it doesn't. I gotta address something too, because I keep getting the comments on the YouTube page. Question avoided another horror film. I saw stupid ass Insidious 2. I saw The Conjuring, which I loved.
I don't even know if you can call this horror.
Yeah.
To be honest.
What? They still make fun of her for having her period.
Yeah. That's why I'm saying I don't know. Like, it feels. Yeah. I mean, you feel bad for her.
It's like a bad superhero movie or something.
You feel bad for her, and it really felt like the beginning of Kick-Ass was like prelude to Carrie.
Yeah.
You know, when she's like left in the field.
Yeah, that's what it kind of was. All right, so then you got that one. And then I'm trying to think. There's
the Benedict. Isn't that the Benedict Cumberbatch?
Yeah, The Fifth Estate, I saw that as well.
Isn't that this weekend?
Yeah, I thought that was lazy. Ellis liked it. I thought it was lazy. I think Bill Condon is extremely overrated.
Yeah.
He did the last two Twilight movies. I think that puts him in the wheelhouse that he should be in. And I just think that the movie...
We know how you feel about those movies.
It's the poop on a shit stick. And I think that... I really think that it's just one of those... It's just a movie that Benedict Cumberbatch you're watching, and then you got Daniel Bruhaha, who I like as well, from Rush. And their performances are fine, but and the ending I liked, but it just plods along for a while. And then there's some silly thing with their like it's like a surreal thing inside of a room to be inside of his mind, and it's a shit version of the Social Network that just farts out bad. Did you see it?
I just had a quick question for you. I don't know if you could talk about it or not, but I texted you the other day. You saw two movies I'm really looking forward to. One was 12 Years of a Slave.
I just talked about it.
You saw another film. Dallas Buyers Club.
Oh, I'll talk about Dallas
Buyers
Club.
I can't wait to see it.
When does that come out? This week?
No, I think it comes out in like 2 weeks. Dallas Buyers Club, Mark and I did see. Our review's not even actually out yet, and that'll come out probably next week. But I will tell you, it's phenomenal. It's a great movie. And Matthew McConaughey is getting nominated, hands down. I haven't seen Wolf of Wall Street yet. I don't know. Yeah. Early word is that it's possible.
By the way, and that other movie he did this year.
Mud.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that if he gets nominated, it's probably going to be... It's a possibility he can get nominated for two, and I think it won't be Mud.
No, it's so old.
Yeah, it's so old. And I think that it's going to wind up being Dallas Buyers Club for sure, and then with a possible supporting actor for Wolf of Wall Street, from what they're saying. But the movie is good. Jennifer Garner's really good in it, but Jared Leto is holy shit.
I heard he's amazing.
He's amazing in the film, and the movie is just again. We're in that season now, you know, with Captain Phillips and all these. We're in the season that it's just you're getting the quality movies, you're getting the directors and the writers and the quality actors and the big performances.
Do you ever like maybe this is a weird girl thing, but I feel like Jared Leto is not supposed to be this good at everything. He's ridiculously good looking. His band does well, and he's really good in this movie. It's like, can't you like? Aren't you supposed to be bad?
I have that problem.
You do, huh? It's true. Yeah, I know. I've seen your stand-up. But there's also he actually – and Jared Leto hasn't actually acted. This is his first role in, like, I think, like 6 years.
In forever. I mean, let's talk about my so-called life.
No, it's not. Let's take one last call from Schmoville, and then we got to go to break. Hey, you're in Schmoville. Who do we got?
Hey, Hunter from Texas.
Hunter from Texas. Hunter. What's up, my man? What do you got for us before we go to break? What are you going to take us out with?
Hey, I was just wondering if y'all were going to do a Halloween version of the show in a couple weeks or next week, talking about horror films. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Wait, Hunter, what city are you in?
Texas. He's in.
No, I don't know. What's the state?
Where?
Midland.
Nice.
Okay, cool. Thank you, Hunter. Yeah, Hunter, we will be doing a Halloween show. It probably won't all be horror movies, but it'll be our favorite movies to watch on Halloween or during the season. But yeah, we will be doing a Halloween show. We'll figure out exactly which one of the crew is going to be here, but we're doing a show for sure. So tune in on Halloween night. Cool.
Dude, I want to go see Nightmare Before Christmas.
On that.
At the El Capitan 3D.
That, oh, that could be cool.
Yeah. Well, we'll they're like 4D. They're doing some like interactive stuff too.
Oh, okay, cool. All right, guys. So, again, great show so far. Naveed McElargy here breaking it down with myself and Tiffany Smith and the rest of the Schmoes crew. We'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to the Toad Hop Network, radio worth watching.
What's up, Toadheads? Hey, make sure you check out the Toad Hop store on ToadHopNetwork.com. It's a great way to support the network and helps continue to bring you quality programming.
Quality programming, my ass.
Can you see I'm recording you? Oh!
So maybe you've got a great idea for a business and want to start selling your products or services online. Maybe you're an established business owner looking for new customers. Or maybe you're interested in starting a personal website. No matter who you are, GoDaddy wants to help you kick ass online. Right now, GoDaddy's offering .com domains for just $1.99. It's go time. Start your website today. Visit GoDaddy.com and enter promo code TOAD to get your $1.99.com or click on the GoDaddy graphic on the Toad Hop website. Some limitations apply. See website for details.
What's up, everyone? Sports Guru here. Sick of looking at the same old boring websites? Well, check out the newsportsguru.com for all the hottest trending videos and all the biggest sports news. Become a VIP for only $4.99 and get premium access to everything the Sports Guru has to offer. The beautiful gurus, girls, all my biggest sports picks, and much more. So get off that porn site and check out the newsportsguru.com.
Is that hunk of junk you call a car always breaking down and leaving you in the dust? Log on to Dyson-Motors.com and check out Dyson's full inventory online. With hundreds of quality cars in stock of all makes and models, you can find the next car of your dreams in minutes. And know you're getting super low pricing. Purchase a car today from Dyson Motors and receive a year of free oil changes. Bad credit? Worried about financing? Log on and get pre-approved in seconds. Go to Dyson-Motors.com and find your new car today.
To leave your house to shop, to crawl through traffic to the mall,
just to find the thing you wanted,
isn't even there at all.
Amazon.com is the answer.
Shop at home in style and ease.
Find exactly what you want.
Ordering your stuff's a breeze.
Books on tape,
games galore,
everything you're looking for.
Kindle, cameras, electronics,
baby Einstein,
hooked on phonics,
Blu-ray,
movies
and TV,
download
music,
MP3,
Pixar,
Disney, microphones,
pet supplies and doggy bones,
World of Warcraft,
Nancy Drew,
Sims,
the Scruff System too.
Click Amazon,
you'll smile with glee.
Sometimes shipping's even free.
With GameFly, choose from over 6,000 titles. Play as long as you want and send them back when you're done. $8.95 to start, no late fees. GameFly.com, games delivered.
You're listening to the Toad Hop Network, radio worth watching.
Damn.
Too early.
Nice. What? Oh, you didn't change it. I was wondering. That's what I said. I was like, didn't we play this when Bonnie was here? Thanks, Johnny Ice. Johnny Ice just gave up on the whole show. That's all right. That's all right. What did you have before him? What was the song? Doesn't matter. Schmoes, no movies. Christian Harloff here. Mark Ellis is out in Chicago at Zany's in Chicago this weekend. Make sure you see him on Friday and Saturday night. Or if you're, I guess his show's over now. It's late there. But Tiffany Smith is here. And we have been talking a lot of, I mean, everything. We talked TV tonight with Norman Reedus about Breaking Bad. We talked film. But... Walking Dead, not Breaking Bad. Breaking Bad, we talked to one of our viewers, and I have a Breaking Bad shirt on, courtesy of what? Ripped Apparel.
I love
Ripped Apparel and what they do for us. They sponsor us. They also, what they do now is they're doing headphones. You can get a full design. Like, if you like this Breaking Bad design, you can get actual headphones designed in in the design. It's really cool. They have coasters now. They have a lot of different things that it's incredible. So, and all you got to do this month, the code is SKCARRIE, CARRIE, SKCARRIE. You get $1 off of anything you want there, and let them know that we sent you, and that's about it. So we're going to have – No celebrity impression dating game tonight because...
thank God.
That will be happening soon because Christian Petrie is going to be coming back on the show soon.
Oh, I think I'm going to be away that week. Sorry.
No, you will not. You'll be here. Did you see her episode, Naveen, where she did Gandalf?
No.
It was hysterical.
Oh, my God. And I carry a stick.
Yeah, so I basically didn't do the accent.
Awesome. I just, like, said things that he said.
Yeah.
and so, then would start giggling.
We're going to have the second round.
We're going to have a lot of...
What are you doing?
What is
Why is there smoke back there?
Who knows? Makuga's dancing around back there, too. It's a lot of cool stuff. Guys, it's a great show so far. I mean, again, we still have one more guest coming in, Jason Horton from YouTube. He has over 70,840 subscribers. He does, like, a lot of sketch on his show, so we're going to talk to him about that as soon as he'll be in the studio in a second. But, again, it was really cool having Clifton Collins Jr. in here and talking to Norman Reedus, and we'll put the show up. We'll put both of those interviews up on our YouTube page because, again, talking to Norman Reedus. What's up, Jason? How are you, man? Have a seat. Yes, because talking to Norman Reedus about Walking Dead and everything that he did was a lot of fun. So we're going to put that interview up on the YouTube channel tomorrow. But joining us now in studio, fellow YouTuber Jason Horton. Welcome to Schmoville, my friend. How are you?
Yo. How are you doing?
Thank you for having me.
Of course, man. So, Jason, you can find Jason on YouTube at Jason Horton, J-A-S-O-N-H-O-R-T-O-N. Jason's done a lot of cool videos on his channel and some of the collaborations you can see with on his channel. He's done stuff with Jenna Marbles, Kasim G, Grace Helberg, and Taryn Southern, correct?
Yeah, you're pretty close with the names.
How'd I mess it up? Tell me why I fucked up.
Grace Helberg.
Daily Grace.
Okay.
Kasim G.
Okay, see, didn't I say Kasim?
I called him Kasim a whole bunch Kasim. Before I started working with them, but then I learned quickly that it's
And then
it's
he corrected you. Okay, yeah. So there you go. And as you will know as we go on in the show, I am terrible pronouncing everybody's name. Right, Taffany?
Yes. I just let him do it.
But I want to talk to you because, again, our audience is very familiar with the YouTube platform, and a lot of people are up-and-coming YouTubers as well. And so you have a video out there, The Morning After, which has over 12 million views.
Yeah. Do you want to hear the story behind
that
one?
I would love to, yeah.
That's I actually wrote that for Kasim G. He had I was writing some stuff for him, and he passed on it.
Okay.
Like a fool.
Right.
And then I met a part of a group called Totally Sketch, and I wrote this, and then Michael Gallagher, the director, was like, "Well, this girl Jenna Marbles is coming in from Boston. Do you want to do with her?" I was like, "Yeah." I didn't know who she was, and she didn't obviously know who I was. Right. So at the time, and then we got together, and it was great, another collaboration, which is kind of how I got to where I am through collaborating. Yeah. And then, you know, the video is very, like most of my videos, very sexual.
Yeah.
Got suddenly really uncomfortable sitting next to him.
Well, I mean, you know.
So the interview's not over yet.
It gets really academic, though.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. But she was really cool. And I was, you know, I get really nervous with those videos. Not if the more sexual or if, like, girls in her bikini or bra, then I'm afraid that that's going to be overcoming the funny. So then I get kind of nervous. Kind of get nervous with that more than, you know, being in bed with a girl.
But you did a lot. You do a lot of those type things too as well. Yeah. Because you did one with Tori Black, former porn star.
God, I've made a lot of friends. People are just like, what? I'm trying to actually do another video with her. I want to see how that works out.
You wait till Naveen sees a picture of her and then he's going to ask you a lot more questions. About her. I don't think he knows who she is yet. Yeah.
Show me a picture.
I've always wanted to kind of, you know, I think it's interesting, like Funny or Die has been doing this for a while, crossing, I mean, I want to say traditional with like YouTube, and I just thought it would be really neat for like, you know, and bring her fans over and then, fans.
Go back to, what's her name?
Tori Black. Sorry.
So you're saying to cross over YouTube and porn?
A lot of, you know, Tracy Lords did it. You don't know Tracy Lords.
I do.
Okay, cool.
How old are you?
I don't say
how old. Tracy Lords is still
a barely legal.
Yeah, Tracy Lords was like 13 or 14 when she started.
That's true.
Yeah.
I just think it's super cool. I mean, I think it's really neat to see people where you don't normally see them in a situation. I don't know. I just think it makes things interesting. And in YouTube, you know, I try
it's
to.
It's smart, too, because they got a lot of followers, man. They got a lot of fans. So, it's smart. Because, again, we had on. Allie Hayes was on the show too, and she had a movie coming out, and we talked, and she and her fans came in, and it's again the same thing, even not necessarily with porn stars too. Like Katie Sackhoff was our co-host for a long time. She brought in a lot of Battlestar Galactica fans in too. It's just, it's obviously your stuff has to be good, Your fans got to want to stay
because
with you.
It has to even be better than that, because then people say, you put whoever, Jenna Marbles in there, Tori Black is in it, and, you know, this sucks. So I actually get more nervous when we kind of, like, do those kind of things, because I feel like I'd be looking out for that. I'd be like, oh, you have this, so...
Like, you don't want to get... You don't want people just to watch it for the gimmick.
No, I mean, I want to watch it for the gimmick. Absolutely. Watch it for any reason, please.
Right. As long as they stick with it.
Yeah.
Right, so...
But getting those videos, like, you get a lot of views, which is great, but, you know, you don't... Keeping subscribers, I don't know if you guys talk about it, but, you know, the kind of keeping, making kind of new fans just watch more of your videos.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of, I don't believe there's a lot of click through on it, but I mean, a good video is a good video. I mean,
yeah, it's true. And your audience is loyal and they stay with you too. And, you know, I wanted to put Josh McCuga on the mic there too, because Josh is, again, because there's just, we talk to what we're able to do, because we're in the movie review community in YouTube, and people will ask us questions in the sketch world. I know that Josh, you've got a channel in sketch too, so I mean, I know that maybe there's stuff that you might have questions towards Jason of how he kind of started his stuff and along those lines.
I mean, we released one music video. We released first like six videos. The first Douchebag Anthem hit.
Okay,
we got like 600,000+ in the first week, and then we kept releasing. And then we realized that people only wanted clever songs. But, I mean, I guess the collaboration thing is pretty much the way to go about the whole thing. And I don't know if you found that, like, your videos themselves were good enough, or that the collaborations just brought you that plateau.
It was a lot of it was the collaborations. And I happened to, you know, I kind of learned, like, with, like, YouTube, it's like sometimes if you only have one skill – what do you do if no one needs that one thing? You become kind of irrelevant. So, like, I have, like, a writing background and an improv live sketch background and directing and acting and comedy. So I try to make myself very, very useful. And I have a marketing background, too. So I've always been pretty good at kind of hustling that. But, I mean, and, you know, with the collaborations, I always have something to bring to the table. And I think, you know, if it's like, hey, do you want to do something? Like, yeah, what? I was like, great. I have all these things to bring to the table. You may be more popular than me, but I have, like, I have a script, or I have a cool location, or, you know, a camera crew or whatever it is. I just always have something to bring to the table. So I've been able to kind of sustain myself. Plus, I'm more popular on the internet than I am with my own YouTube channel. Like, I've been probably seen in if you collected all the views on the internet, like going towards a billion.
On more collaboration
with my
stuff?
With my face, you know?
In so other people's videos.
Other people's videos. Right. But, I mean, it becomes enough where it's like, oh, yeah, I know who you are. I'll kind of work with you based on the fact that you worked with Jenna Marbles.
Right.
You know, you've worked with the Annoying Orange or whoever that you work with. So I'm able to kind of leverage that.
And it's crazy, though, too, because a lot of people don't know this, that how YouTube really is. It really is like a secret society in a certain way.
Yeah, sure.
You know, it really is, because there are ways, too, that you have your own faith. Like, there are certain – like, to our fans, they obviously know what we do and exactly, you know, certain videos. They can quote us and our podcasts. We're not the same thing with you. And then there's people who have no idea what the internet world is. Well, you probably don't know.
I was just going to ask what the hell YouTube is.
Yeah.
What's a hashtag?
What's the YouTubes? it is cool to have you in here again to be able to talk about that side of it. But the other thing I wanted to ask you as well, because this is a movie podcast as well, are you more on the movie side of things as far as your tastes go, or are you more a TV guy? Where do your interests lie?
Well, I love movies, I love TV, and I write, I have this traditional side of me, which I've kind of been able to kind of, where a lot of people in Hollywood are, you know, trying to go through that front door, I've kind of leveraged YouTube to find a side door, and I've, you know, I've optioned screenplays, and, you know, I had a TV pilot that the executive producer of The Dark Knight read at William Morris, and now I'm writing his new TV pilot,
oh, cool.
Which all kind of came from YouTube. And it's things that I never, when I was living back in New York, I was like digging ditches or whatever. I was like, oh, that's things other people did. So I'm sitting there like William Morris, and I'm like, this is fancy. You know what I mean? Like, I sit here, but I act like I know what's going on. Yeah, I do this all the time, every day. But meanwhile, inside, it's like, this is really cool.
Yeah.
Like,
and it just shows the fact that you're really with YouTube, and you are in control of your own destiny.
Sure.
You really are. It's like back where you don't have to have your manager, your agent go, oh, well, check him out. Let him go try out for this job. Let him look at his screenplay. It's just like, look at my videos and the fact that I have an audience.
I've written commercials, you know, for big companies. And all I do is like, I just point to a number and I'm like, you can't dispute, you know, if you like the way it looks and you like that number, it's transparent how I can show success or lack of success, I guess.
It's true.
But I love movies. I go to movies almost every weekend. And it was one of those things where I used to be like, oh, that's a luxury. And now I'm out in LA, you know, this is probably the most expensive place. And I go to the movies more than ever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, so the ones that are out there right now, we've talked about a handful of them so far, but maybe what so far, we can do it this way. Out of 2013, what are let's say your three favorite movies that you've seen so far this year that you would like to talk about? We can all do that. Naveed, I know it takes you about 6 months, but by the time we get to
the last movie I went to the theater to see?
What?
Superman.
That's Superman with Richard Donner. The Richard Donner. Wow, that's a long time ago. But you still see movies.
Still see it.
Yeah, but you get screeners and stuff. The big studio executive guys. So, okay, Jason. So, three movies that you saw this year that you really liked and you want to talk about. Then we'll go to Tiffany, then myself, and then Naveed will fall asleep.
Well, no. I saw The Conjuring and. Yeah. So I went and saw The Conjuring. I'm just going to tell – I'm going to use my all three on this. And James Wan was in the
cool.
audience. And he was there and it was like in Burbank at like 11 o'clock. And I get out and I'm like – because I met him at a party in like 2008 because this girl I was dating was like, oh, that's the guy who like made Saw. And I was like – and I was like, you're an idiot. Like, I just met her. I was like, you're an idiot. You don't know. You're like a burnout idiot valley girl. That's what we're talking about.
And
I go.
And you were on a date with her.
Oh, yeah. I dated her for 5 months. she was really hot. So whatever. And then.
Corey Black.
And then I looked up. God. I was like, oh, my God, that is James Wan. So I went and I talked to him. And I like that movie. I love the Insidious movies. Yeah. I even liked Insidious 2. I don't know. I just love. And I saw this movie. Kings of Summer.
Oh, great movie.
I love Kings of Summer. So, those are
two good. And it's funny, too, because the funny thing is we had the writers of The Conjuring on the show. And
I met them, too, the brothers,
the Hayes,
right?
Brothers.
The they asked me what I thought. They're like, what'd you think of, like, anything stuck? I was like, I don't know. This is really awkward. I was like, but you're like weird twin brothers asking me about what
they were. They were double. Do you remember the movie Rad, by the way? The BMX movie?
Yeah,
Rad?
Yeah.
They're the twins in that movie.
Oh, really?
They were in Double Mint commercials, too.
Yeah, they were. And one of them was in Lethal Weapon.
Really?
Yeah, it was one.
The other one was so mad.
Oh. Yeah, it's true.
It's like, what about me?
Yeah. Like, you know, one of my friends works in casting, and she's always like, when it's twins, she's like, you can't say no. If a parent brings up twins, and they're like, this, I know you guys wanted to see her, but I also have this other twin. And she's like, you always have to just be like, let them both in.
I know. Well, Harris Schmoville right now, why don't you tweet in, because this is what Tyler Myers just did right now. Tweet in your top three movies of the year so far. What do you got? And we're going to read up some of your choices at Schmozno. Tell us what you think. Tyler Myers writes in that he has Rush, Gravity, and Captain Phillips, very recent ones.
Wow.
I happen to like all three of those. I think in the order for me would be probably Gravity, Rush, and then Captain Phillips. So that's my order of his picks. But Tiffany, out of the three movies this year that you really liked, what do you got?
I can't remember what I've seen this year.
Iron Man 3.
No, that would not be in there.
No.
I was going off of his list, but I loved Rush. I really liked it way more than I thought I was going to.
Yeah.
And I think it was because I went in kind of not knowing what to expect. With Gravity, I went in with such high expectations because everyone had seen it and it was like, the greatest movie.
Did you see it in IMAX?
I saw it in IMAX 3D. And everyone was like, this is the greatest thing ever to make the movies and you're going to love everything about it. And I went in and was like, yeah, it was good.
I'm with you on that.
I loved it.
But I wonder if I hadn't heard anything about it and gone in, would I have been blown away?
I see. I heard some stuff. I heard how great it was beforehand.
I liked it.
I loved that. That was Gravity's probably up there for me as one of the best, if not the best so far this year. Then 12 Years a Slave.
I loved the
Place Beyond the Pines. Those are the ones that I really liked a lot. So they're all interchangeable. McCooks, what do you got?
Way Way Back.
Yeah, that's it. That just one.
Yeah.
No.
You're so excited.
I love
it's
that
a great movie.
Movie.
It's a great movie.
Yeah. The best movie I've seen all year.
That's all you need.
That
just
movie.
That one. Okay. Yeah. It was a really good one. And that was the one where we found out Gandolfini died. That was the part that sucked in that movie.
Uh,
Sometimes I wonder if I am in the movie business.
I know, because you're like trying to figure out which ones you like.
Is
I
that
haven't
a movie?
Seen anything.
I really liked Goodfellas this year. I mean, that was a good one.
I went to the premiere of Prisoners. See Scream.
That was great. That
was the only one I missed. That's just when Vivian hurt her finger. But what?
Did we ever talk about when I went to Prisoners and there were children there?
No.
I wanted to ask you
really?
About this. Okay, so we're watching the movie, and it's like maybe
parents.
Three quarters of the way through. And we're second row because it's packed. In the front row, we hear this little boy go, "Mommy?" And all my friends and I look at each other and we're like, "Are you kidding me?"
Wow. Maybe it was a prank.
No, because two of my guy friends were like, "We have to say something. Like, we can't just walk out." So they went up to them and we're just like, "Hey, you know, I really don't know that this was an appropriate movie for children." And they said to them, they were like, "Well, they don't listen to us when we tell them not to talk to strangers, so we thought we'd bring them in."
Oh, my God, that's great.
That was like the only... I normally don't tweet out things to be like, "Don't take..." I don't have kids, so like I can't tell you what to do. But that I tweeted out, and I was like, I think it's common sense to not take children to a movie that's about... child abduction.
You know what's funny? When I saw The Changeling, by the way, there was a kid in that as well.
No, but that you know what's funny? I would never in a million years take my kids to see the movie until you said the reason, and I'm wait a minute. That makes sense.
Yeah, well, Jason,
Here's the other thing, though.
Hold on, sorry, go ahead.
Wouldn't you go see it first? Like, that's my one. Like, you're like, okay, if you're going to do, like, learn a lesson from this movie, go see it first.
And then make sure that they can get through it. And then you're like,
it was long.
Oh, Jason, so I'm going to read you off some of the Schmoville movies here. There's a certain ones that stick out from some of these suggestions that you saw that you really liked or disliked. Please,
yeah, absolutely.
Okay, here we go. So we got Star Trek, Pacific Rim, Prisoners, Way Way Back, Spectacular Now, Gravity, Mud, The Heat. Fruitvale Station, Kick-Ass 2, Man of Steel, Way, Way Back. Those are World's End, Place Beyond the Pines, Mud, Don John. Those. I mean, there's a shit ton more, but out of those, any of those are stuck?
Yeah, I mean, I liked, I'll tell you what I didn't like. I thought The World's End was really overrated.
Did you?
Ken
Knapsack feels the same way.
I feel like it was just... I don't know. Like it just wasn't. I don't know. It wasn't fun.
Do you like that? Did you like the other two movies, the Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz? Or not?
Oh wait, no.
You were talking about this. I'm thinking about this is the end.
Oh,
I keep getting those confused.
I love this is the end.
Are you not a fan of those guys?
No, I mean, I am like in a way, but I feel like it was just not. I feel like they didn't have to write. I don't think the writing was that funny.
Did you think maybe
they're funny? But
the way I felt on the movie, that I could see the opposite point of this. I felt that it was an inside joke that I was on the inside of. Did you feel like you were on the outside? Maybe because some people felt that way too.
No, I mean,
like,
would they make gluten jokes? I mean, I get it.
Yeah. No, but I mean,
actually one funny joke.
I don't mean that. I mean more so the fact that it's like obviously about their personalities and stuff. They play it off of stuff. You know, they're all friends and these things. So. Yeah. You know, maybe like that if you read some stuff about them and you see whether it be the tabloids or the reviews about how shitty Franco was at the Oscars, they played off stuff of that nature. Some people remember just like, I don't need them playing on that stuff. Yeah. I don't care. Maybe that was the point of view. You just didn't think it was funny at all.
I just took it really at face value. Not anyone's like, let me look at this idiot's YouTube channel. This sucks. What is he talking about? Yeah. But please go do that. Please go run to my channel, watch all of my videos, and tell me how shitty I am.
It's good promotion. And then we have, how did you feel? Are you more? What's your genre? Are you more sci-fi guy? Are you more?
I mean,
horror
I love
guy?
Action. Like, okay. I can't wait to see that Escape Plan.
Saw it last night.
Oh yeah, I love Tough Talk. Like any of that kind of stuff.
It's a little embarrassing, man. I really wanted to watch it. It's not good. All right. So, did anybody see Blue Jasmine here?
No.
Everyone's talking about how great that movie
I know.
Was, and I missed it. I'm really Elysium. I was not a huge fan of. Did you see Elysium, Jason? No,
I saw Blue Jasmine.
What did you think?
I'm single because of it.
Why?
Tell the story. So much, and the girl I was with, we were together for almost a year, loved it so much. We had this big fight. She's like,
"You fought because of a movie?"
Yeah.
That's
and
awesome.
Then she was like, "I've been whatever it
tell
is."
Tell the story. Come on.
All right, so we went to the screening, and then we got in the fight, and then she like got so mad at me because I didn't like it.
Yeah.
She's like, "You don't like anything that I like." And I was like, "I like things that you like." She's
so
like,
this
was
like a therapy session.
This was. Okay, and then she's like, "You don't like anything I like." And I was like, "I like a lot of things." She's like, "Ah, you don't like anything." And then I was like, she's like, "That's why I've been seeing other people." And I was like, "Wait."
Whoa.
You just got Blue Jasmine.
Yeah,
I did
you got Woody Allen. Yeah. What you got?
Yes. Woody Allen. Like,
so who was
right
her Soon-Yi?
I'm just going to walk away.
Really? All right. See, I almost got it at you. I almost got it at you. Wild Man dances in the background.
Also, wait, can we just flashback? He said, I've been dating this girl for almost a year. We've heard... When did Blue Jasmine just come out?
Yeah, no, he was 5 months ago. Yeah, I remember he was there. I didn't know that was the catharsis of how that all went down, but good for you. How about
powerful movie dates are.
There's some people, a lot of picks here for Riddick. They liked Riddick as one of their favorites. Pacific Rim, World's End.
I love Fast and the Furious.
Oh, my God.
What a way to reinvent a franchise, right? Yeah. I mean, the Fast and Furious 5 really took it into that action realm. Did you like 5 or 6 better?
It was so far in between.
5 was in Brazil.
Yeah, it was just so far in between. I don't know. It was so over the top, which I like.
Yeah.
I think it's like really has a license to do. And a friend of mine is working on 7 right now.
Oh, cool.
So I just saw
James Wan. Yeah.
Yeah. not that friend.
No, but I'm saying he's working.
But we are close. Yeah. We are very close.
Yeah, James Wan is directing the film. that I can't. Again, they're doing 7 and 8, by the way. And you should talk to Statham about that one, because I guess he's the main.
He's villain. The bad guy.
Yeah, he's the bad guy in that one. So, I mean, the way that I feel, and Tiffany, correct me if you feel otherwise, but I think that the way that this movie season started off is January was horrendous, and then it started to kind of pick up a little bit, and the summer season was disappointing, and now we're starting to gain some steam back.
Yeah, I would agree. I think, like I've said this before, but I feel like there were so many movies that were hyped up during the summer.
Yeah.
That none of them lived up to it. As soon as you go into something and it's like, oh my God, this is the best thing you'll ever see.
I don't know if that's the case, because look,
all had like 17 trailers.
That's true, but if the content's good, again, because Dark Knight was hyped up and it delivered.
Which one?
The second one.
Oh, the second one. Yeah.
And
did we get a bajillion trailers though?
We got a lot of trailers for The Dark Knight. Yeah, and again, you didn't like. And some people didn't like Dark Knight Rises. I loved it. I thought Dark Knight Rises. I loved it, and I thought that it
didn't make any sense.
It didn't make any sense. Well, that's a whole other podcast. You should have been here for the Dark Knight spoiler review.
I just read an article that said that was comparing this year to like 1939 and like the best years in American cinema, 43 and 76.
It's got a chance the second. I mean, look, the movies that I've seen so far with 12 Years a Slave.
That's what they're listing off. Like, they're like,
Dallas Buyers Club.
This is the. This season. You can have 10 best picture nominees because this year is the year to do it.
Right now, every movie that I've seen, minus Escape Plan and I guess Carrie, those movies.
I can't wait for Carrie.
Yeah, she didn't like
really
it.
Oh, really? The trailer has been like in every single preview of any movie genre that I see.
Yeah.
So.
We were looking forward to Escape Plan, and then they were looking forward to
Carrie. I don't think Carrie's bad. I just left and was like,
Yeah. All right, a couple more minutes before we got to go, and I want to talk to Jason Horton about a few more things, though, too. Sure. So, Jason, out of all the things that you're doing now on your channel, what do you really like? What do you love doing the most? Because I know, obviously, you like writing and coming up with the funny thing, and it's obviously you want to come up with views, what's going to get views, but what... To be cliche, what gets you up in the morning? What makes you want to kind of do what you're doing?
I really love doing like absurd type comedy, like stuff from like this, you know, and like The State and Stella and like that kind of. But that doesn't do well on my channel.
Okay.
People come to my channel because they want like interactives, which like choose your own adventures, and they just want awkward guy, hot girl, because that's always going to be a thing. Yeah. That's never going to be solved, and it's kind of, you know, I hold it close to the chest because I've kind of grown up like that. So it's just a lot of me in there. It's on I have one interactive pizza delivery based on when I used to deliver pizza in New York. Mm-hmm. So that was based on me.
Is that where you're from? You're from New York?
Yeah, North Jersey, and then like an hour north of the city, Newburgh. And I was just there for Comic-Con because I'm a Ford Fiesta agent. But Ford
I was
is
just
my
there too.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
See?
See? I saw you. You were in the jeans, right?
No.
Oh, okay.
As Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman jeans.
But yeah, I went there for Ford and Gawker and stuff like that. So it was a pretty cool quick trip, and I did a thing on Kimmel the day before that. So it's been really awesome. But something exciting that I'm doing.
Yeah.
That I haven't really told many people about.
What do you got?
I'm going to London on the 27th to the 4th to make stuff for the YouTube Music Awards.
Oh, right.
So they were like, do you want to go to like London or South Korea or New York? And I was like, who, me? I'm kind of like, I'm always like that. I'm always like, even this is like me. Okay, cool. I've never been to London.
So you're going for that.
Yeah, I'm going
for
what do you mean make stuff for it?
I don't know.
Oh, so they're gonna kind of tell you what to do.
I made the plane arrangements, and like no one knows anything. Like that's how
you're
YouTube
like,
so
is. I'm going to London and doing what? I don't know.
You know, no one knows what's going on. So I'm gonna go there, and Spike Jonze is the creative director, and I'm going to Abbey Road Studios.
That's
and
cool.
I'm like, so it's like it's really surreal. I'm pretty excited.
That's fantastic.
About that.
Good for you, man. Easy. All right, and make sure, are you on Twitter?
I am at @Jason_Horton.
Okay, @Jason_Horton. Follow him on YouTube. Go to YouTube and subscribe at Jason. Just Jason Horton is his channel. Jason, thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you for having me.
I really
appreciate it.
Guys, what a fun show we had tonight. Again, Norman Reedus from The Walking Dead calling in. That was a lot of fun. We had Clifton Collins Jr. as well. And the big story that we were able to confirm, that Michael B. Jordan has been cast as Johnny Storm in Fantastic Four. A lot of cool stories. Guys, Tiffany Smith, the co-host now of DC All Access.
Yeah.
Really cool.
Check it out every Tuesday, guys.
Every Tuesday, check that out. Naveed McElarchy, thank you for everything that you did for the show tonight. Really appreciate it. Ken Knapsack, Josh McCouga, Christian Arloff.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. Come back soon. And Johnny Ice, JTI, the whole crew. Oh, by the way, their contest that we're doing where you review the podcast, put that up. This is the last. We're going to announce the winner this week on our Facebook page, and I'll tell you right now,
you
the winner
win.
Is going to be doing a little bit of a excerpt, a contest. It's going to be a lot of fun. So check that out. Peace out, mother effs.
Listening to the Toad Hop Network, radio worth watching.